Scene 1 of The Soul's Awakening. Hilary's office, a not too modern interior. He is the owner of a factory which produces wooden articles. Secretary. And all our friends in Georgetown make it plain that even they are losing patience with our firm. Manager. These two, now. It's indeed deplorable, and always the same reasons. You can see how painful our friends find it to decide that they must take their leave of Hilary. Secretary. It's that we're lacking punctuality, and that our merchandise cannot compete with other firms in the same field, is what they write. The same complaints I hear now more and more upon my trips. The good name of this house, as it came down from Hilary's forebears to us, and which we added to, is disappearing. The opinion is that Hilary, bemused by dreamers and false visionaries, in his obsession has quite lost the consciousness which up to now has given all our products world renown. As numerous as our admirers were, as many now are critics of our work. Manager. For quite a while it has been clear that he is influenced and led astray by those who strive for very special spirit powers. He's always had such tendencies of soul, but until now he's kept them separate from all the work of daily life. Enter Hilary. Manager to the Secretary. I think it necessary now to speak with Hilary in private, briefly. Exit the Secretary. My deep concern is prompting me to take the chance to ask you for a serious talk. Hilary. What is of such concern to my adviser? Manager. So much is happening that shows me how our production slackens more and more, and how we're failing in our obligations. Too many are complaining that our products are growing worse in quality, and so the other firms are starting to outdo us. Our well-known punctuality is lacking, as many customers have rightly claimed. Soon, all the best friends that the firm has made will find themselves no longer satisfied. Hilary. A long time now I've been aware of this, and yet it leaves me wholly unconcerned. However, I should like to talk it over with you, for you not only gave me help and service to my company, but stood beside me as a faithful friend. Therefore you now shall hear directly what I have often hinted at before. The one who wishes to create the new with calmness must be able to perceive how first the old must die away. No longer will I carry on the work as up to now it took its course. It seems to me degrading when a business, remaining in the narrowest range, throws thoughtlessly the work itself upon the market of our earthly life, completely unconcerned with what becomes of it. This view I've gained since I have realized the noble form that labor can assume if men of spirit put their stamp on it. Tomasius, the artist, shall now direct the workshops that I build here near to us. The products made by our machines will first be formed artistically by his creative spirit, and so supply for daily human needs the useful molded into noble beauty. Thus craftsmanship will be combined with art, and daily life imbued with taste. So I would add unto the dead sense body, and this is how I see our work today, the soul that gives it its true meaning. Manager, after some reflection. The plan for such miraculous creations is not in keeping with the spirit of our time. Today production must be narrowed down and specialized minutely to achieve perfection. The forces which in life impersonally allow the part to work into the whole give to each part without a thought the value with which no wisdom can endow them. And even if this fact were not a hindrance, all you intend would nonetheless be futile. That you can find the man to carry out the project you've devised so splendidly is something inconceivable to me. Hilary, my friend, you know I do not follow dreams. I could not aim at such high goals unless good fortune had brought to me the man who will accomplish all I'm striving for. I am astonished that you do not see that Strader is, in fact, this very man, the one who knows the essence of his spirit and has a sense for highest obligations, should not be called a dreamer, when he conceives it as his duty to find a field of action for this man. Manager, showing his surprise. What? Is Strada then the man? Is it not clearly evident in him how a man's mind is apt to blind itself when lacking common sense for true reality? He owes the mechanism he invented without a doubt to intuition's light, and if some day it can materialize, then from it countless blessings will flow forth, which Strada has believed were very near. But it will long remain experimental, because the forces still are inaccessible, which alone can bring it to reality. It saddens me that you can think it would do good if you entrust your work to such a man who's suffered shipwreck with his so daringly conceived creation. In truth, this led his spirit to those heights which always will entice the human soul, but will be scaled and conquered only then when rightful forces shall have been acquired. Hilary, now see. You praise the spirit of the man while seeking for the reasons to reject him, and this significantly proves his worth. You have implied that it was not his fault that his invention did not meet success. Then, here, within our circle, is most certainly his place, for here no outer hindrances can come into his spirit's way. Manager. And even if, with inner opposition to all that has been said, I tried to put myself into your way of thinking, there's something else that drives me to dissent. Who will appreciate your products, then, and show sufficient understanding to make the proper use of them? Your capital will soon be eaten up before the work is actually begun, and then it can't be carried any further. Hilary, it is quite clear to me that all my plans will prove impossible, unless at first there is aroused in people understanding for ways of working that are new. What Strada, what Thomasius will achieve must be perfected here, where I establish a place to foster knowledge of the spirit. What Benedictus, what Capesius, and what Maria will communicate shall show to every human mind the path so that it feels the need to permeate our life of sense with spirit revelation. Manager. So you will then endow this little clique to live self-centered from the world apart. You'll separate yourselves from real life. In truth, you wish to wipe out egotism in such a place, but you will simply nurture it. Hilary. You seem to think that I am dreamily and thoughtlessly belying the experience that life has brought me. This would certainly be true if for one moment I would seek results that are successful in your sense. What seems to me of value may go wrong, but even if the world despises it, and on account of that it falls to pieces, it would at least have been embodied once by souls of men on earth as an example. In spirit it will work its way in life, although it disappears from sense existence. It will contribute part of that great power, which in the end must lead to the uniting of spiritual goals and earthly deeds. The science of the spirit affirms this fact. Manager, I wanted to discuss these things at first according to my duty to the firm, and now your frankness has encouraged me to speak more openly as friend to friend. At work with you I have for many years felt urged to look for knowledge of the sort to which you sacrifice your strength devotedly. My guidance I could find alone in books wherein this spirit knowledge was revealed. Although the worlds to which I was directed seem inaccessible to me, perceptibly I can imagine mind and mood of people who with greatest faith devote themselves to all such spirit paths. What several experts in this field of study describe as tendency of soul in those who find themselves at home in spirit realms, I've found confirmed by my own searching thought. Above all else, it seems to me important that souls like this cannot distinguish, despite their care, illusions from reality at times when they must naturally return from spirit heights to earth existence. Then, in the spirit worlds in which they are, specters will rise, preventing them from clarity of sight in realms of sense, confusing, too, the certain powers of judgment that men must have for living on the earth. Hilary. What you are telling me as your objection is reassuring, for it proves to me that I can count on you in times to come with those who stand beside me in my plans. How could I ever guess that you are well acquainted with the kind of men who willingly will join me in my work? You know the dangers that can threaten them, so will their actions make it clear to you that they know well the ways that give protection. You soon will get to know the situation, and I will still in future have from you the wise advice I could not do without. Manager. I cannot lend my strength to any work whose ways and methods are not plain to me. The friends in whom you wish to put your trust seem caught in just those same illusions of which I spoke, and others, hearing them, can also be misled by such illusions, and thus they drown the voice of conscious thought. You'll find me at your side, advising you, as long, indeed, as you intend to base activities on firmly grounded reasons. But not for me is your new kind of work. Hilary, by your refusal, you will jeopardize a work which is to serve true spirit goals. Without your counsel, I shall be disabled. Consider how responsibility must grow when destiny has given us here such hints as I can clearly recognize that all my friends have found their way together. Manager, the more you speak like this, you prove to me quite clearly that you do not realize how you yourself are caught in sad illusion. Although you think to serve humanity, you really only serve the little circle which can devote itself a short time longer to spirit dreams because of your support. Great efforts soon will be in progress here, ordained, no doubt, by spirit for these souls, and yet they'll seem to us as phantom efforts, devouring all the harvest of our work. Hilary, if you cannot offer me your hand, the future stands before me wrapped in gloom. Strotter enters from the right. Hilary, dear Strotter, I have been expecting you. As things are now, it seems advisable to spend the present hour in serious talk, and at a later time make the inspection. My old friend here has just confessed to me that he cannot approve what we have planned. So let us listen to the man himself who promises his spirit to our work. Much now depends on how men find each other, who each to each seem like a separate world, and yet united could accomplish much. Strotter. So Hilary's good helper has no desire to take upon himself the hopeful work our friend's discernment has made feasible? The plan, indeed, can only be successful when your well-proven skills in daily life unite themselves in wisdom with our aims. Manager. Not only will I hold myself aloof, but I should also like to show my friend the hopelessness I see in such a venture. Strotter. It can't surprise me that for you a plan which stems from Strotter is foredoomed to fail. Important work of mine was forfeited because today those forces are still hidden which could materialize a well-thought-out idea. One knows I owe to spirit intuition what in itself proved true and yet could not be brought to life. This testifies against my power of judgment, against, too, my belief that spirit harbors the source of true creation on the earth. It also will be difficult to prove that an experience like this gives me the power to escape from error for the second time. I had to go astray that now, this time, I might avoid the dangers that rim the heights of truth. It's clear that men will question this. Your kind of mind especially must conclude our way of working promises but little. I've heard you praised for your participation with sensitivity in all our cultural life, and for the time and strength you give to it. But it is also said you wish to keep the work on earth severely separate from spirit aims, that out of their own force would work creatively within the inner life. You would consider them appropriate for times not occupied by daily work. The goal, however, of that spirit stream in which I see quite clearly life's direction is this: to join what spirit in itself can do to earthly labor in the world of sense. Manager. As long as spirit only gives to spirit what it accomplishes in free creating, will souls be raised to human dignity. This will endow their earthly life with meaning. But when the spirit wants to find within itself reality as well, and even wants to take command of other spheres of life, it then approaches regions where illusions can often become dangerous to truth. It was this effort shown to me through efforts I made in spirit study. It was not the inclination of my heartfelt feelings, as you assumed from what you heard of me, that was decisive in my attitude today. Strata. It is an error, then, in spirit knowledge that makes you hostile to the views I hold. Through this, the difficulties will increase. No doubt it's easy for the spirit researcher to work in partnership with other men who have already let themselves be taught by life and nature what existence means. But when the thoughts that claim to spring from spirit sources join reluctantly with others flowing from the self-same source, one can but seldom hope for harmony. After musing quietly, and yet will come what has to come about, renewed examination of my plans, perhaps may let you change the view which you on first consideration had to take. The curtain falls while all three stand deep in thought. End of scene one. Scene two, The Soul's Awakening. A mountain landscape. In the distance, the house of Hillary, near the workshops which are not visible. There is a waterfall on the right side. Johannes is present, also Capacius, who is not visible to Johannes. Johannes. The piled-up, towering forms, whose silent life fills widths of space with sculptured riddles, can never pain with questions, never deaden him who wishes not to think, but blessedly alive to look upon the sense world's revelation. Around the rocky masses here, what weaving streams of light! And there the mute existence of bare walls, woods that dimly fade from green to blue. This is the world in which Johannes's soul would like to linger, weaving images of things to be. Johannes's soul should draw into itself and feel the depth, the wideness of this world. Creative powers should unloose from out his soul the power by which his in art transfigured radiance, the world's spellbinding glory, moves men's hearts. But this Johannes never could accomplish had not Maria said again. But this Johannes never could accomplish had not Maria lovingly aroused his inner forces with her gentle warmth. I praise my destiny's wise guidance that brought me near to her. How short the time that we have been together, how close the bond uniting within weeks Johannes's soul with hers. She lives in me as spirit, even when afar. She thinks within my thinking when I call forth before my soul the goals of my own willing. Maria appears as a thought of Johannes. Maria, here with me? How strange she is! She should not show herself to me like this, her face so spiritually stern, her dignity, it chills my earthly feeling. Johannes will not, cannot see her coming near like this. It cannot be Maria, whom wise powers once brought through destiny's kind providence to me. Maria disappears from Johannes's vision. But she who loved Johannes, before she changed his soul and led it to the coldness of spirit heights, oh, where is she? Where is Johannes too who loved Maria? Where is he now? He was just here. I cannot see Johannes, who with joy was giving me myself back to myself. The past so cruelly cannot, must not, rob him from myself. Maria becomes again visible for Johannes. Maria. Maria, as you desire to see her, does not exist in worlds where truth is radiant. Johannes's spirit weaves in regions of deceit, enticed by soul illusions. Free yourself from these desires and their alluring power. I feel your storm of soul in me. It robs me of the calmness which I need. The one who sends such storms into my soul is not Johannes. It is another being whom long ago he conquered in himself. As phantom now, it roams through realms of spirit. Oh, recognize it, for then it will dissolve to nothingness. Johannes. This is Maria as she is in truth. She speaks about Johannes as he seems at present in reality to be. Long since he rose to quite a different life than the illusionary play of dreams depicts it now, for I've allowed in laziness my soul to muse in twilight comfort. And yet this life does not hold fast my being. I still can flee from it. I'll do so now. It calls me often, it wants with all its power to win me for myself. But still I feel the urge to free myself. Long years ago it filled my soul depths with reality of spirit, and yet I do not want to recognize it now in me. You, stranger being in Johannes's soul, leave me alone. Oh, give me back unto myself as I once was before you worked so actively within me. I will behold Johannes freed from you. Benedictus appears at the side of Maria, also as a thought of Johannes. Benedictus, Johannes, heed the warning of your soul. The one who, kindling you with spirit, rises within you as your own being's primal power, must faithfully hold sway beside you. He must demand that you bring forth as man, within your willing, forces of his being. Hidden within you must he work, so that you reach in future what you know to be your being's distant goal. Your cares and sorrows you must take through life, locked fast within your inmost soul. You'll gain yourself if evermore you'll let yourself be seized courageously by him. Maria. My holy solemn vow, raise forth new strength to hold for you what you have gained, and you will find me in cold fields of ice, where spirits must themselves create the light when darknesses disable powers of life. Seek me in grounds of worlds where souls must struggle to achieve their feelings for the gods, victoriously wrestling being from the void. But never seek me in the realm of shades, where worn-out soul experience gains by tricks a fleeting life through self-illusion, where phantom images beguile the dreamer, because in pleasure he forgets himself and looks on serious efforts with distaste. Benedictus and Maria disappear. Johannes. She speaks about illusion, and yet how lovely this illusion is. It is alive. Johannes feels himself in it. He feels Maria's nearness in it too. Johannes does not want to know how spirit can solve the riddles in dark depths of soul. But he will work, he will create as artist. So let in him stay buried what only wants to look at cosmic heights with consciousness. He sinks into further musing. Capacius rises from his seat, shaking himself awake as if out of deep contemplation. Capacius, have I not been aware quite clearly what in Johannes, musing there in dream, has shaped itself as image of his longing? Thoughts flamed up within, which did not come from me, which only he could shape. There lived in me the being of his soul. I saw him young again as he perceived himself through spirit error, and as he blamed with spite the ripened fruits of his own spirit. But wait, why am I now aware of this? For seldom may the spirit searcher see within himself the life of other souls. From Benedictus have I heard it said that one alone can do this for a while. The man whom gracious destiny ordains to be upraised one further step upon the spirit path. Can I interpret thus the happening I experienced just now? How seldom, truly, should this ever happen? How dreadful for the seer to have to listen at all times to the inward life of others! Did I behold the truth? or did illusion cause me to dream of other soul existence? From Johannes, must I beg the answer? Capasius approaches Johannes, who notices him for the first time. Johannes, Capasius, I thought you far away. Capasius, my soul, however, has felt close to you. Johannes, not close to me, just now, surely not. Capasius, why do you shudder at these words of mine? Johannes, oh, no, not shudder. At this moment Maria joins them. This enables Johannes and Capasius each to speak to himself. Johannes, to himself. It is his glance that pierces to the bottom of my soul. Capasius, to himself. His shudder shows me that I saw the truth. He turns to Maria. You come, Maria, at a fitting time. Perhaps your word will help to solve the riddle whose solemn weight is so oppressing me. Maria, I thought to find Johannes here, not you. Foreboding brought me first to him to seek the riddle's weight. But you, I thought, content, devoted to the enterprising plan which Hilary is offering to us. Capasius, this plan, for me, it has no meaning. It's disturbing. Maria, disturbing? Were you not overjoyed to think your hopes might now be realized? Capasius, what in this fateful hour I just lived through has fully changed the purpose of my soul. Now every earth activity and work would rob me of my wakened seer forces. Maria, the one allowed to tread the paths of spirit finds many a hint to shape his destiny. These hints he'll follow on his paths of soul, and yet he could interpret them quite wrongly should they disturb his duties here on earth. Capasius sits down and falls into a short contemplation while Maria experiences the appearance of Lucifer. Lucifer, your urging will not yield to you much fruit. Forces are stirring there within his heart, which open portals of his soul to me. Maria, now direct your strength of vision into his depths of soul. See how he frees himself on wings of spirit from earthly work of yours enwarmed by love. Lucifer remains in the landscape. Maria turns herself quite distinctly to Capasius to rouse him from his musing, but he seems at the same moment to shake himself out of it. Maria, that Johannes, on the spirit path, should feel tormented by his duty's earthly nature would seem not justified, but understandable, for his creative mind must serve the outer work. But you should bring to others spirit knowledge without a step, thus out of your soul orbit. Capasius, the power of spirit can waste itself in words far more than when it works in outward action. For words would have us grasp what we perceive, yet concepts are opposed to powers of vision. I had a spirit vision even now, which could reveal another human soul, only because, though we are close in friendship, my earthly nature never understood him. If this experience is real, no longer can I be bound to any earth activities, for I must feel that higher powers now have pointed out quite other aims for me than those that Hilary has in mind. He confronts Johannes. Johannes, tell me, frankly, did you not, just now, when you were lost in quiet musing, experience outlived desires of yours as if they were your present self? Johannes, my spirit's own confusion, can it form an active life within another soul? And can his vision make my error strong, that it can find the way to world becoming? Johannes falls again into musing. Maria turns her glance to Lucifer and hears him speak. Lucifer, here, too, I find soul portals opened wide. I will not hesitate, will use my chance. If in this soul, too, spirit wish arises, then must the deed of love be forfeited, which threatens me, through Hilary, with danger. Through this desire I can destroy Maria's strength, then all that she achieves falls to my power. Exit Lucifer. At this moment, Capacius straightens himself up with inner consciousness of self, and in the course of the following speech acquires an ever more positive mood. Capacius. There is no doubt that what I saw was true. I was allowed to see Johannes's inner life. Now it is clear. He could reveal his world only because my own had no desire to come near to his world with comprehension. The spirit path demands its solitude. Only such men can work together who face each other comprehendingly. The soul remote from human beings reaches the wide horizons of the worlds of light. I find in Father Felix an example. He seeks on paths quite strange to others in proud seclusion for the light of spirit. His searching was rewarded with success, because he always kept himself aloof from all in man that merely comprehends. I'll strive now further on this path, on his path. Your work that weighs down visionary force with earthiness no longer will entice Capacius. Exits. Maria. This happens when a person's better self sinks into spirit sleep, and powers of desire can feed his nature till a new awakening rays light into his spirit being. It is the sleep that all men sleep before the force of seership awakens them. They notice nothing of this waking sleep. They seem awake because they always sleep. The seer sleeps when he must bring himself into this waking sleep out of his true existence. Capacius will now forsake us. It is no fleeting whim. His inner state draws him away from us and from our goals. It is not he who turns himself from us. One sees the stern decree of destiny. So must we others then rededicate more strongly all our forces to the work. Johannes. Maria, do not ask it of Johannes that he prepare himself at such a time for further goals. His soul needs, like Capacius, the spirit sleep, that it may bring to full maturity its germinating powers. I know that in the future I will dare to work for spirit worlds, but we do not now demand that I am active. Ask not now. Consider that I drove away Capacius. Were I now ready for the work, he would be too. Maria, you drove away Capacius? You? You're dreaming. Johannes, I dreamed while conscious, was awake while dreaming. What would to cosmic power seem illusion has been to me a symbol of my growth. I know that my desire was I myself. My thinking only was another self. Johannes stood before my soul as he once was, before the spirit laid its hold on him and filled him with the second self. Johannes is not dead. His live desires have made him the companion of my soul. I may have numbed, but have not conquered him. His natural right to be, he claims whenever that other self must sink in sleep. Always to be awake is far beyond his strength. It was asleep, too, at the time in which Capacius could experience in himself this other self that tears me from myself. To him, my dreaming was a hint of destiny, and so there works in me and not in him a force that, driving him away, forbids us to turn our minds to earth activities. Maria. The spirit powers are coming. Summon them. To cosmic spirit sources turn your gaze, and wait until the forces in those depths perceive that part of your true self which stirs in kinship to their being. They'll conjure up before your inner eyes the bond which grows from you to them. Forswear your own mind's dissonance. Your spirit then will speak with spirit beings, and listening will heed this spirit speech. It will convey you into spheres of light, uniting you with spirit entities. What dawns on you from times long past will then grow clear to you, distinct in cosmic light, and will not force you, for you can direct it. Compare it with the elemental beings, with shadows and with phantoms of all kinds. Confront it, too, with demons manifold, and so discover what it signifies. But root yourself within the realm of spirits, who, binding primal source to primal source, are close to cosmic germinating powers and give direction to the thoughts of spheres. Such vision of the worlds will give you strength amid the surging spirit waves to join this essence of existence with your soul's core. The Spirit has commanded me that I should make this known to you myself. Hear now what you are conscious of, but have not yet united with your soul depths. Johannes, he collects himself for a determined effort. I will hear. I'll dare to bid defiance to myself. From both sides come elemental spirits. From the left, gnome-like beings with steel-gray bodies, smaller than men. They are nearly all head, but this is bent forward and downward. Their limbs are long and mobile, deft in gesturing, but clumsy for walking. From the right come sylph-like figures, slender and almost headless. Their feet and hands are something between fins and wings. Some of them are blue-green, others yellow-red. The yellow-red ones are distinguished by sharper outlines. The blue-green ones are less distinct. The words spoken by these figures are accompanied by expressive gestures, developing into a dance. Chorus of gnome spirits. We harden, we strengthen the earth stuff's dusty glimmer. We loosen, we powder the stark, hard-crusted strata. What's firm, we quickly crumble. What's loose, we slowly harden with bodies built of spirit, spun out of stuff of intellect that were already clever when human souls, still sleeping at earth's beginning, lay a-dreaming. Chorus of sylph spirits. We weave, we unravel the web of air and water. We sever, we scatter the quickened sun strength in the seed. With skill we densen powers of light, erase the ripening forces, wisely with bodies built of soul, outflowing from the beams of feeling, which ever-living glimmer that human beings living enjoy the sense of earth's becoming. Chorus of gnome spirits. We chuckle, we snicker, we banter, we grimace, when human senses stumbling and human spirits tumbling, behold what we have fashioned, and think they wisely understand what spirits of our age's time can conjure for their stupid staring. Chorus of sylph spirits. We foster, we cherish, we ripen, we hover, when human children, dawning life-word and aged gray beards weaving error, consume what we have labored, and childlike or gray-haired, within time's current dimly relish, what in eternity we ponder. These spirit beings collect into irregular groups in the background and remain there visible. From the left appear the three soul forces, Philea, Astrid, and Luna, with the other Philea. Philea. They radiate brightness as love-giving light rays to blissful a-ripening. So gently they warm, and so mightily heat where growing is ready to quicken to life, that quickened and livening those souls will enchant who surrender in love to the radiant light. Astrid. They weave on the living as helpers creative in upwelling beings. They shatter the soil and densify breezes, that change may be seen in striving creating, that striving creating give joy to those spirits who feel themselves weaving in life that's creating. Luna. They cumber with forethought as active creators the formative substance. They sharpen the edges and flatten the surface to shape in wise measure the uprising forms, that uprising forms enrapture willed purpose, to shape in wise measure as active creators. the other philia. They gather the blossoms as carefree availers in spellbinding magic. They dream of the true and hold the delusion that seeds still asleep might waken to life, and wakening, dreaming, reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being. The four soul forces disappear toward the right side. Johannes, who has been in deep meditation during the preceding events, arises out of it. Johannes. And wakening, dreaming, reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being. These are the words which sound still clearly within my soul, while all that I beheld before has, in confusion, disappeared. When I consider the enchanted weaving of my own being, what power stirs in me? He falls again into meditation. There appears before him as his own thought form, a group consisting of the spirit of Johannes' youth, Lucifer at its left side, the soul of Theodora at its right. The spirit of Johannes' youth. The life of your desires nourishes my life. My breath drinks thirstily your youthful dreams. I am alive as long as you refuse to enter worlds which I can never find. But should you lose me in yourself, I would in pain do evil service to grim shadows, preserver of my being. Do not forsake me. Lucifer. Forsake you he will not. I can perceive desires for light within his depths, desires which cannot take the path Maria takes. If his desires with self-engendered glory turn their full light on his creative soul, the fruit they bear he will not wish to waste within the realm where love holds sway, but love deprived of beauty. His self no more will seem of worth to him, should it, by setting too much store by knowledge, throw all his better forces to the shades. When wisdom lightens up in his desires, their value will be gloriously revealed. As long as these desires remain in darkness, will they appear to him of little worth. Until they can attain the light of wisdom, I will be your protector through the light that I can find innate in souls of men. Till now he lacks compassion for your pain. He lets you sink into the realm of shades while lifting up himself to heights of light. And then he can forget that you, his child, must lead a woeful, spellbound life. But henceforth at your side you will have me. When you are chilled as shadow by his guilt, I will exert the rites which Lucifer... At the word Lucifer, the spirit of Johannes' youth quivers. Holds for himself by law of ancient worlds to capture from Johannes' depths whatever he leaves unguarded in his spirit flight. I'll bring you then this treasure, that it eases the dismal solitude of realms of shade. But only then will you be freed from spell, when he can join himself again with you. He can delay it, but prevent it never, for Lucifer will safeguard Lucifer's rights. Theodora. You, spirit child, you live Johannes' youth in dismal realms of shades. The soul that guards Johannes's the soul that guards Johannes bends down lovingly to you from realms imbued with love and filled with light. She will, from spellbound regions, set you free, if from her feelings you will take enough to gain existence in pure blessedness. I will ally with you with the elementals, which work unconsciously in worldwide space and ever shun the wakening of souls. With spirits of the earth you'll fashion forms, and with the fire souls will you ray out power, if you will sacrifice your conscious life unto that will which without human wisdom sends forth its light-filled strength. And so shall you preserve the knowledge that is half your own from Lucifer, and to Johannes give the services that are of worth to him. Out of his soul life I will bring to you what makes him crave for your existence and offers him re-quickening spirit sleep. Lucifer, she never will bestow upon you beauty, for I will pluck it daringly from her. Theodora, I will from noble feeling bring forth beauty, maturing it by sacrificial deeds. Lucifer, she will from free will tear you and will yield you to spirits holding sway in darknesses. Theodora, I will awaken vision filled with spirit, which is at last set free from Lucifer. Lucifer, Theodora, and the spirit of Johannes' youth disappear. Johannes, awakening out of his musing, sees the other Philea approaching him. The other Philea, and wakening, dreaming, reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being. Johannes, you, mysterious spirit, through your words I stepped into this world, and only one of all its wonders is important to my soul, the shade who sought to show himself to me with Theodora and with Lucifer. Is he in spirit realms a living being? The other Philea, he lives, awakened to a seeming life through you. As mirrors show in image form what light allows to cast upon their surfaces, so must be mirrored livingly in realms of half-awakened shadow spirits all you behold in spirit realms, before maturity gives you the right to it. Johannes, only an image is mirrored thus through me? The other Philea, yet one that lives and keeps its hold on life as long as you preserve within yourself a lived-out life, which you indeed can numb, but which as yet you cannot overthrow. Johannes, your awakening will be delusion until you liberate yourself, the shadow being on whom your guilt bestows a spellbound life. Johannes, what thanks I owe this spirit, who brings truth and counsel to my soul? I must obey. The curtain falls slowly while the other Philea and Johannes remain standing quietly. The end of scene 2. Scene 3 of The Soul's Awakening. The same landscape as in scene 2. Magnus Bellicosus, Romanus, Torquatus, and Hilary enter from the right. They continue a conversation which they have been conducting on their walk. Its content becomes so important that they stand still. Bellicosus. And if his stubborn mind remains unchanged, how can the work succeed which Hilary would dedicate in loving service to mankind? Romanus. The reasons which our friend's associate has given for his opposition have weight not just for those who form opinions based on outer facts. Do they not also correspond to occult truths? Bellicosus. And yet they do not lie within the aims of those who firmly guard our spirit goals. We were succeeded in our occult work by Benedictus's students. Hilary will create for them a field of action where their fruits of spirit can mature. Wise powers of destiny united them with us within the temple, and Hilary is answering the consecrated orders revealed to us as spirit obligations. Romanus, are you so sure that you interpret rightly this spirit order? More convincing seems the thought that Benedictus, with his students whom he in his way guided to the spirit, should stay within the temple's innermost, that they should not yet tread the rugged road to which friend Hilary would lead them. Their spirit vision changes all too quickly into a dream-filled sleepiness of soul. Bellicosus. I had not hoped to hear such words from you. They might be said by Hilary's co-worker, who gains his knowledge out of books alone, a knowledge that's indeed of little value. But you are bound to recognize the signs which are begotten on the occult path. How Benedictus's pupils were impelled to come to us speaks clearly to our souls. They're joined with us so that we can obey the revelations of their seership. Torquatus. Another sign, however, seems to show that spirit powers have not only poured abundant blessings on this work, as it was offered to us in the temple, Capasius has withdrawn from Benedictus and from the circle of his friends. The fact that he can, in its fullness, not yet feel the inner wakefulness which Benedictus expects of him, now casts obscuring shadows, too, upon the teacher's own assurance. Bellicosus, the gifts of seership lie far from me, but often I can feel how some event evokes foreboding in my soul. When first I saw Capasius at our sacred place, the thought arose oppressively that fate had placed him near and also far from us. Romanus, in this foreboding I can understand you. But in that moment I could sense that Strader was joined with us by power of destiny, more closely than the other occult friends. This kind of premonition is for me a sign that guides my soul into directions in which I then can search with reasoning. And when I turn toward action, I abolish the premonitions surging through my thinking. For me, strict occult rules are here my guide. Indeed, in spirit realms, I feel close ties to Benedictus's students. But if I have to find my way out of the inner circle, back into daily life on earth, I'd dare to take that way at Strader's side alone. During the following speech, Ahriman appears in the background and slowly crosses the stage. Torquatus. The loyal friend of Hilary does not see Strader as the sturdy spirit able effectively to serve the outer life. When I allow my inner voice to speak, it's clear to me that Strader lacks completely the genuine mood of soul for mysticism. What outer signs can prove to him, and what his reasoning can grasp of spirit life, can stimulate him, in him, the urge for research. He stands far off from inward life of spirit. What else could this man's spirit work consist of but mystically dark dream fabrications? Romanus. And still, he has not yet progressed so far upon the spirit pathways of his friends as to ally himself with inner foes who are so dangerous to many mystics when they pursue him into sense existence. Bellicosus. If you believe him safe from such attacks, no hindrance should prevent your work for Strader in order that the project is successful which Hilary would carry out through him. For when our friend's co-worker comes to hear how you revere the man he rates so low, his firm decision surely will be shaken, and only you can gain him for our cause. For well he knows that in your outer life you have invariably achieved success in everything you planned with prudent care. Romanus. If you, dear Hilary, will give to Strader a field of work with you, and yet will keep the other students Benedictus guides, with no illusions outside your activities, you will not stand alone. For I will offer, besides the help that Bellicosus asks, all earthly means in order to assist effectively the splendid plan of Strader. Hilary. How can you think that Strader, at this time, from Benedictus's students, would depart to follow his own spirit goals alone? His friends are just as close as he is to himself. Romanus. They may be close to him as human beings, but that part only of his soul, which still is wrapped in spirit sleep, can well believe that they, in spirit too, are one with him. And yet I think that it will soon be clear how this part too matures to waking life. The four exit to the left. From the other side appear Capasius, Strader, Felix Balda, and Felicia Balda, pausing in their walk because of the significance of their words. Capasius. One task alone at present can I follow, to seek the spirit on inner paths of soul. Were I to load myself with outer work to bring to life the spirit in realms of sense, I'd boldly have to try to grasp the truth of earth existence in those worlds whose essence to me has not yet come to full reality. I can behold of cosmic life no more than has already shaped itself to me. How shall my work do good to other men if I, creating, but enjoy myself? Strader, I think you mean In each creative act, you imprint alone the stamp of your own self, and so impart through this, in every deed, your self-will only to the outer world? Capacious. Till I, with my own inward world, encounter a being strange to me. Then that is so. With pain, I've had to realize how far I now can penetrate another soul, when for a while I wakened into clearness. Felix Balda. You utter words I've never heard from you, but never have I understood so well as now, when you are only speaking for yourself. There sounds within your words the mystic mood which I've austerely sought for many years. This mood alone is able to perceive the light in which man's spirit feels itself with clearest sight within the cosmic spirit. Capacious. Because I sensed how close I've come to you, did I take flight to you from all the turmoil that wanted to destroy my inner world? Strader. I often understood what you are saying. I took it then for wisdom. But no word of what you say has meaning for me now. Capacious and Felix both, to me, conceal dark meaning in transparent words. I wonder if these words of yours are merely the outer cloak of forces, of soul forces that exile me from you into those worlds which lie remote from all your spirit paths, to worlds for which I've no desire, because deep in my soul I love that world of yours. It is not hard to bear the opposition which from outside is threatening my work. Yes, even if my will were to be shattered by opposition, still I'd uphold myself. But I can never do without your world. Felix Balda. A man cannot attain the spirit world by wanting to unlock it through his seeking. Some time ago you gave me pleasure when you spoke to me about your mechanism, for it was found by true enlightenment and not by reason set on finding it. Then you were closer to the mystic mood. To strive for nothing, wait in peaceful stillness, one's inmost being filled with expectation, that is the mystic mood. When waked in man, it leads his inmost soul to realms of light. Our outer work cannot endure this mood. If you, through mysticism, strive for this, your own delusion will destroy its life. Strater. I am in need of you, but cannot find you. A life uniting us, you do not value. How can men come together for world action if mystics never lay aside self-interest? Felix Balda. The fragile being of the inner sight you cannot take into the world of action, for it will fade as vision when you cross the border of this world's absorbing life. Impiety, revering spirit sway, with spirit sight reposing in the heart, thus mystics should approach the world of deeds. Capacious. And if they otherwise would enter it, effects of error it would show to them, but not the radiant being of true wisdom. Into another's soul just now I looked. I knew my sight was not deceiving me, yet only that soul's error could I see. This was my fate for spoiling spirit sight by my desire for outer deeds on earth. Strader. So speaks Capacious, who has advanced beyond me far upon the paths of soul. But spirit vision rises in me only when I devote myself to thoughts of action. My soul is flooded then with living hope to build an earthly home for spirit deeds, a place in which the light shall be enkindled to radiate and warm the spirit worlds, the light which through men's sense activity will seek anew a home in earthly life. Am I the son of error? Not your son, you wisdom-filled and wide-flung spirit realms. Strader turns away for a moment from the others. He has the following spirit vision. Benedictus, Maria, and Ahriman appear in real spirit communion, though as his thought forms. First Benedictus with Ahriman, then Maria. Benedictus. In wisdom-filled and wide-flung spirit realms, you sense approaching help for pains of doubt. that age-long secrets of your inner life allow to weigh upon your earthly thinking. Now, listen to the answer. Through my voice, which wide expanses of the spirit world are willing to reveal from depths of soul, but learn to understand what you believe, you know, and often boldly put in words, yet merely dream within your own soul being. Give to your dreams the life which I can offer while bound to you in spirit, but transform to dream existence what your thinking draws forth for you from sense experience. Capacius and Felix banish you out of the spirit light which they behold. They open the abyss between themselves and you. Do not complain that they have done this thing, but gaze into your own abyss. Ahriman, dare to gaze there, and so perceive what seems to you most worthy of human spirit in evolution's course. Much better would it be if other spirits could show you this while dull in your soul sleep, but Benedictus shows it while you are waking, and thus you kill the answer as you look. Yes, dare to gaze there. Strada, I will dare. But what? The shapes confused, they're changing, and they're tearing, each tearing at the other, like a battle. The phantoms rush upon each other wildly. Destruction reigns and generates fierce darkness. Out of the darkness, other shadow beings, etheric brightness round them, rose red weaving. One of the figures clearly frees itself and comes to me, sent from the dark abyss. Maria appears out of the abyss and comes forward. Maria, demons, you see. If you build up your strength, then they are not. To you they must appear what they are not. If you can hold them fast until their phantom being is illumined before your soul life, they will show how high their order is in world becoming. Your vision, though, may be extinguished in you before they have revealed their shining might. You can illumine them with your own light. Where is your light? You radiate fierce darkness. Perceive your darkness round about yourself. You pour confusing darkness into light. You feel it pouring forth through your creating. Yet you can never feel what you create. Whereas you would forget creating's thirst, unknown to you it dominates your being, because your cowardice holds back your light. This light of yours you would enjoy, and yet yourself in it is what you will enjoy. You seek yourself by seeking in forgetting. Dreaming, you sink yourself into yourself. Ahriman, yes, listen to her. She can solve your riddles, but her solutions will not help you solve them. She gives you wisdom so that you may turn your steps with it to foolishness. She might be good for you in future when the spirit day shines for you bright and clear, but when Maria speaks into your dreaming, she kills your riddle's answer by her counsel. Yes, listen to her. Stoddard, what do these words desire to do, Maria? Are they born out of the light, out of my light? Or can it be my darkness from which they sound? Speak, Benedictus, who brought me counsel from the dark abyss. Benedictus, at your abyss she sought you out. So spirits seek out men to shelter them from beings who form phantoms for men's souls, and who confuse the cosmic spirit's rule with darkness. Then the souls can only see reality within the web of self. Gaze further into your abyss. Strata, what is alive there in the abyss's depths? Benedictus, behold the shadows. On the right, the bluish-red enticing Felix. Look upon the others. At left, red, gently brightening to yellow. They press on hard to reach Capacius. They both can feel the power of these shadows, and each in solitude creates the light that halts such shadows, which deceive men's souls. Ahriman, he would do better if he showed to you your shadows, and yet he almost cannot do it, although he truly does not lack good will.
He does not notice where to seek these shades. They stand behind you, dangerously near, and it is you yourself concealing them.
Strader, so here at the abyss I have to listen to words which I considered only foolish when Hilary's adviser uttered them.
Maria,
while Felix tempers for himself the weapons which shield him against danger, one who walks your paths of soul must use another kind. The sword Capacius forges for himself and bravely wields in battle with his foes must change for Strada to a shadow sword, were he to start with it that spirit war which powers of destiny ordain for souls who mightily must turn the spirit being, matured for deeds to earth activity. You cannot use their weapons for yourself, but you must know them so that you can forge your own from outsole substance thoughtfully.
The figures of Benedictus, Armand, and Maria disappear, that is, from outward sight.
Strada returns from his spirit vision. He looks around for Capacius, Felix Baldwin, and Felicia, who again join him. He has seated himself on a rock.
Felix Baldwin.
Dear Strada, did the spirit not just now drive you away from us?
So it seemed to me.
He pauses in the expectation that Strada will reply, but since Strada remains silent, Felix continues.
I did not want to banish you unkindly from out our group to other ways of life. I only wish to keep you back from yielding to delusions that perplex you.
What spirit sees in spirit should be received and taken up by souls in spirit only. How foolish if Felicia should take the magic creatures living in your soul, which only want to be perceived in souls, and let them dance upon a puppet stage. Their magic charm would be completely lost.
Felix Balda.
I think that I've been silent long enough, and speak I will if with your mystic mood you even want to bless my fairy sprites. They'd thank you kindly if their power were first sucked out of them, and then with mystic pap you'd try to nurse them back to life again. With all respect to mysticism, it should keep its nose out of my fairy realms.
Capacius. Felicia, was it not your fairy tales that set me first upon the spirit path? The spirits of the air and of the water, which you called up before my thirsting soul, were messengers to me from out those worlds to which at present I seek mystic entrance.
Felicia, yet since you came with this new mystic mood into our house, you've hardly asked to know what all my lovely magic beings want. You've more or less allowed at times the ones which show a dignified and solemn face, but those who gaily dance and bounce with joy cause you quite mystical discomfort.
Capacius, undoubtedly, some day I'll understand the deeper meaning of these wondrous beings, who show their wisdom in such merry masks. But now my strength is not yet up to it.
Felix, Felicia, you know how much I love the fairy beings which reveal themselves to you, but to imagine them mechanical, embodied dolls, this goes against the grain.
Felicia,
I have not so presented them to you, for that you stand too high. But I was glad when I was told of Strada's plan, and heard Tomasius too intends to show how spirit can enter into matter, sense perceived. I saw in spirit all my fairy princes, my fire souls too, dance merrily on thousands of puppet stages, shaped with artistry. And so, with inner happiness, I left them to find their way to many, many children.
Curtain, end of scene 3.
Scene 4 of The Soul's Awakening. The same landscape as in scene 2. Hilary's business manager and Romanus pausing in their walk.
Manager.
You know the mystic friends of Hilary, and I can see in you the prudent man who heeds the power of careful judgment needed in occult strivings or in daily life. I value the opinion which you hold, but how can I make sense of what you said? You think it right for Strada's friends to stay in realms of spirit, and not use their power of seership, to work here, in this world. But is this not as dangerous for Strada? His mode of spirit seems to me to prove that nature demons always will delude him when he attempts, impelled by strong desires, to work in terms of outer earthly deeds. The prudent mystic knows that he at first must strengthen forces from within in order to resist these enemies, but Strader's sight, it seems, is not yet ripe to see such foes upon his spirit path. Romanus. But those good spirit beings, guiding men who stand as yet outside the spirit realms, have still not left his side. They turn away from mystics, though, who make a pact with beings to serve their personal mood and way of spirit. In Strada's bearing, I distinctly feel that nature spirits still endow his self with fruits that spring from their good forces. Manager. And nothing but your feelings forces you to think good spirits work in Strada? You offer little and demand so much. Am I in future to consult these spirits if I would further work where for so long I have been privileged to give to labor its meaning and its genuine spirit, to which the father of Hilary was bound in loyalty? I still can hear him speaking from his grave, although his son no longer cares to listen. What would the spirit of that gallant man be saying if he saw that these crazy minds his son now tries to bring into his house, into this house? I know that spirit who for 90 years maintained himself in body and in soul. He taught me the real secret of good work in those old days when he could work himself and while his son crept off to mystic temples. Romanus, my friend, is it unknown to you how much respect I have for such an attitude? The old man, whom you rightly chose as model, was surely its good servant all his life. And I myself have striven, from my childhood up to this very day, to serve this spirit. But I, too, stole away to mystic temples. I planted faithfully into my inner depths what they were willing to bestow on me. But when I left their doors, my reason swept aside the temple's mood for daily life. I knew that in this way I best could carry this mood's strong forces into earthly life. From out the temple, nonetheless, I brought my soul into my work. It's well that soul stays undisturbed by earthly reasoning. Manager. And do you think that Strader's mode of spirit is but remotely similar to yours? At your side, I would always know myself free from the spirit beings Strader brings. I feel acutely, even in his random speech, that elemental beings pour themselves with quickening life into his words and being, revealing things our senses cannot grasp, and yet it's this I find in him repellent. Romanus. This word, my friend, strikes deeply to my heart. Since I drew near to Strader, I have had to feel the thoughts which I received from him, endowed with quite extraordinary powers. They moved me just as if they were my own, and one day I reflected, what if you owe not to yourself but to him the power which let you grow to full maturity? This feeling soon was followed by a second. What if, for all that makes me of some use in life and work and service for mankind, I am indebted to some past earth life? Manager. This is exactly what I feel about him. The closer one draws near him, the more strongly the spirit working in him moves one's soul. If your strong mind could thus succumb to him, how could I manage to protect my own if I unite with him in active work? Romanus, it will be up to you alone to find the right relationship between you both. I think that Strader's power cannot harm me, since in my thought I have conceived the way in which he may have once obtained this power. Manager, obtained he power over you? He, the dreamer, over you, the man of action? Romanus, if one might dare imagine that in Strader a spirit lives its active life, who once could raise himself in some past life on earth to most unusual inner heights, who knew then much of what the others of that time were not advanced enough to even dream, it would be possible that from his spirit thoughts once originated which could find their way into the common life of men, and that from this source people like myself
could gain proficiency in work on earth. The thoughts which in my youth I seized upon and which I found in my environment could well have sprung from this, his spirit.
Manager. And do you think it then permissible to trace back thoughts, which are of general value in life, to Strader in particular?
Romanus. I'd be a dreamer if I thought that way. I do not spin ideas about life's conduct with eyes shut tight. It never was my way to dream along in thoughts that came to me. With open eyes I look at him, and see how Strader shows himself as entity, what qualities he has and how he acts, what's more, in how he fails. And I know clearly I had to form my judgment of his gifts as I have just presented it to you. I see him present in my mind, as if this man had stood before my earthly eyes already many hundred years ago, and that I am awake I know full well. I will work side by side with Hilary. All that will come that has to come about, do give some further thought to all his plans.
Manager. For me it is of greater value now to think about what you have been confiding.
Exit Manager and Romanus.
Johannes comes from another direction, deep in thought, and sits down on a boulder. He is at first alone. Afterward appear Johannes's double, the spirit of Johannes's youth, and finally the guardian of the threshold, and Ahriman.
Johannes. I was astonished when Capasius disclosed to me how my soul's inward life revealed itself unto his spirit sight. Thus could a truth become obscured to me, which years ago stood out in clearest light, that everything which lives in human souls works further in the outer realms of spirit. I knew it long ago, but could forget it. When Benedictus pointed out the path to my first seership, I could behold Capasius and Strader quite distinctly as spirit images, though changed in age. I saw the forming power of their thinking start circling waves that spread in world expanses. All this I know so well, and did not know it when I beheld it through Capasius. The knowing part within me was asleep, and, too, that in a long past life on earth I was bound closely with Capasius. This also for a long time I have known. I did not recognize it at that moment. How can I guard my knowledge at all times?
A voice from the distance, that of Johannes's double. The enchanted weaving of their own being.
Johannes. And wakening dreaming reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being.
While Johannes is speaking these lines, his double approaches him. Johannes does not recognize him, but thinks the other Philea is coming toward him.
Johannes. You come once more, O you mysterious spirit, you who brought true counsel to my soul.
Double.
Johannes, your awakening remains illusion, till you yourself will liberate the shade on whom your guilt bestows a spellbound life.
Johannes. This is the second time you speak these words.
I will obey them. Point me out the way.
Double.
Johannes. Let live within the realm of shades what has been lost to you in your own self, but give them light out of your spirit light, so that he will not have to suffer pain.
Johannes. I may have only numbed the shadow being, but not subdued him. He must, therefore, stay a spellbound shade among the other shades, till I unite myself again with him.
Double.
Then give to me what now you owe this being. The power of love impelling you toward him, the hope which he engendered in your heart, the quickening life which is concealed in him, the fruits of earth lives in the distant past, now lost to you along with his existence. Oh, give me them. I'll bring them faithfully to him.
Johannes. You know the way to him?
Show it to me.
Double.
I could approach him in the realm of shades, when you had raised yourself to spirit spheres. But since the powers of desire have lured you, and to his being you have turned your mind, my strength must always fail me when I seek him. but if you will abide by my advice, my strength might then create itself anew.
Johannes, I've promised you that I would follow you. I will, with all my strength of soul, renew this vow, O Spirit, you who are a riddle. But if you still can find the way to him, then in this fateful hour, show it to me.
Double, I find him now, yet cannot guide you to him. I can alone show to your eye of soul, EYE, the being whom your belonging, the being whom your longing ever seeks.
The spirit of Johannes' youth appears.
Spirit of Johannes' youth.
I shall be bound forever to the spirit, who's opened now the eyes of soul for you, so that your inner sight will find me, when, commanded by the spirit, I show myself to you in future. You should, though, know in truth this spirit at whose side you see me now.
The spirit of Johannes' youth disappears, and now Johannes recognizes his double.
Johannes, not that mysterious spirit, my other self?
Double, now follow me, for you have made the vow. I must now lead you to my sovereign Lord.
The guardian of the threshold appears and places himself at the side of the double.
Guardian, Johannes, if you wish to tear away this spirit shade from spellbound worlds of soul, destroy desires alluring you still further. The clues which you pursue lead you to naught as soon as you are driven by desires. They lure you past my threshold and elude it. But following here the will of higher beings, I can confuse the inward sight of those within whose spirit glance live vain desires. Their sight must first encounter me before they can ascend to purest light of truth. I hold you, therefore, fast within your gaze as long as you approach me with desires. You see myself too in delusion's form, while vain desires are joined to inner sight, and spirit peacefulness as sheath of soul has not yet taken hold of your whole being. Make strong the words of power that you know. There spirit strength will conquer your delusion. Then recognize me, freed from all desires, and you will see me as I really am. And then I need no longer hold you back from gazing freely into spirit realms.
Johannes, you, too, reveal yourself as my delusion? You, too, whom I must see in truth as first of all the beings in the spirit realms? How shall I know the truth when I must find one truth alone confronts my further steps? That I make my delusions ever denser.
Ahriman, do not permit him to confuse you quite. He guards the threshold faithfully indeed, although he shows himself in borrowed clothes which you have patched together in your mind from odds and ends that look like melodrama. You, as artist, could of course avoid producing him in such a wretched style, though later you will surely do it better. But even his distorted image serves. It does not need too much of emphasis to show you what his present stature is. You should take note of how the guardian speaks. Too mournful is his tone, too much of pathos. Forbid him this, and he will show to you from whom today he borrows to excess.
Johannes, the content even of his words deceives?
Double, do not ask this of Ahriman, who always in contradictions finds his chief delight.
Johannes, whom shall I ask?
Double, why, ask yourself. I will now strongly arm you with my power, that wakefully you find that part of you, whence you can gaze without your burning wishes. Give yourself strength.
Johannes, the enchanted weaving of my own being, enchanted weaving of my own being, reveal what is beyond my burning wishes.
The guardian disappears. In his place appear Benedictus and Maria.
Maria, you see me too, but in delusion's form,
while vain desires are joined to inner sight, Benedictus, and spirit peacefulness as your soul sheath has not yet taken hold of your whole being. The double Benedictus and Maria disappear. Johannes.
Benedictus, Maria, they, the guardian, how could they now appear to me as guardian?
Though I have been with you for so many years, let me read that again. Though I have been with you for many years, yet I must seek you still, for so commands the enchanted weaving of my own being.
Exit left. Strater, Benedictus, and Maria enter from the right.
Strater. You gave in close communion of spirit, before the deep abyss of my own being, wise counsel to my inner vision. Though at this time I cannot comprehend it, it will work on in me and surely solve within myself the riddles of my life, which would impede me in my further strivings. I feel in me the power that your endeavor gives to the seeker on the spirit path. Therefore I will be able now to give you the service which you'll need for Hilary's great work, planned for the good of all mankind. Capacius will indeed be missed by us. The other's vigor never will replace his part in the performance of his duties, but that will come which is to come about.
Benedictus.
But that will come which is to come about. These words express the grade of your maturing. They do not find, however, in the souls of all the other spirit friends, an echo. Tomasius is not prepared to carry the power of spirit into sense existence. He, too, withdraws from our activities. Through him a sign of destiny is shown. We all must now discover other tasks.
Strater.
And is Maria? Are not you still here?
Benedictus.
Maria, if she is to find a way which leads her back in truth from spirit life to realms of sense, must take Johannes with her. The earnest guardian has ordained it so. He holds stern watch where both realms have their border. She cannot lend her help to you as yet. And this may serve you as a certain sign that at this time you will not truly find the way into the realm of earthly matter.
Strater.
So I am then alone now with my aims? Oh, loneliness! Was it you that sought me out when I stood there at Felix Balder's side?
Benedictus.
All that has lately happened in our circle has taught me, from your course of destiny, to read in spirit light a certain word which hitherto concealed itself from me. I saw you joined with special kinds of beings who would work evil if already now they would take hold of human spheres of action. Yet now they live as germs in certain souls to ripen for the earth in future times. I saw such germs alive within your soul, that they're unknown to you is for your good. They will first recognize themselves through you, but as of now the road is barred for them, which leads them into realms of earthly matter.
Strater.
Whatever else your words may say to me, they show that loneliness is seeking me. This loneliness in truth will forge the sword. Maria told me this at my abyss.
Benedictus and Maria draw back. Strater is alone. The soul of Theodora appears.
Soul of Theodora.
And Theodora will in realms of light engender warmth, so that your spirit sword may strike with vigor enemies of soul.
She disappears. Exit Strater, Benedictus.
Exit Strater. Benedictus and Maria come forward.
Maria.
Oh, my wise teacher, I have never heard you speak in such tones the words of destiny to students who have reached the stage of Strater. Will his soul's course take on such speed that these words' power will be of benefit to him?
Benedictus.
Fate ordered me, and so it had to be.
Maria.
And if this power is not of use to him, will not its ill effects touch you as well?
Benedictus.
Evil it will not be. I do not know how it will manifest itself in him. Although my vision reaches now those realms where such a counsel shines into my soul, I cannot see the picture
of its effect. And if I try to see, my vision dies.
Maria,
your vision dies? Beholding? My leader yours? Who then destroys the seer's trusted gaze?
Benedictus,
Johannes flees with it to cosmic reaches. We must now follow him. I hear him call.
Maria,
he calls. His call rings out from spirit spaces. Through it there radiates far distant fear.
Benedictus, so sounds from ever empty fields of ice the friend's entreating call in cosmic reaches.
Maria, the cold of ice is burning in myself, enkindling tongues of flame in my soul depths. The flames consume the power of my thinking.
Benedictus,
in depths of your own soul the fire blazes. Johannes kindles it in cosmic frost.
Maria,
the flames are fleeing, fleeing with my thinking. And there, at distant cosmic shores of soul, a furious battle. My own thinking fights at flowing nothingness. Cold spirit light, my thinking wavers, reels. Cold light, it strikes out of my thinking flaming waves of darkness. What now emerges from the fierce dark heat? In red flames storms myself. Into the light, into cold light of cosmic fields of ice.
Curtain. End of scene 4.
Scene 5 of The Soul's Awakening. The Spirit Realm. The scene is set in floods of meaningful color, reddish deepening into fiery red above, blue merging into dark blue and violet below. In the lower part, a symbolically indicated earth sphere. The figures that appear seem to blend into a complete whole with the colors. On the right, the group of gnomes, as in scene 2. In front of them, Hilary. And in the immediate foreground, the soul forces. Behind Hilary, and placed somewhat higher, Ahriman. In the left foreground, Felix Baldus' soul. Lucifer, somewhat in the background, to the right of and towering over Felix Baldus' soul. Strada's soul at the right, at a distance from Felix. The soul forces are near Strader's soul. Felix Baldus' soul, having the form of a penitent, but arrayed in a light violet robe, girdled with gold.
My thanks, wise spirit, ruler of the worlds, my liberator from dark solitudes. Your word awakens life and active work. I will make use of what you give to worlds, on which I may, reflecting, muse, when you allow my world to sink again to dullness. You'll carry to these worlds upon your rays what can create for me new shaping powers.
Lucifer, bluish-green, shining undergarment, reddish outer garment, shaped like a mantle and gleaming brightly, which extends into wing-like shapes. This upper part is not an aura, but he wears a mitre-like headdress, deep red with wings. On his right wing a blue sword-like shape, a yellow spheric shape, is supported by his left wing.
My servant, such activity as yours needs time within the sun's sphere, which we've entered. The earth's star now receives but gloomy light. This is the time when souls like yours can best be working on themselves. Out of my fount of light I let the seeds of self-awareness brightly shine on you. Go, gather them to make your ego strong. In your earth life the seeds will come to flower. Your soul will search for them as blossoms there, and take delight in its own self by planning with wishful joy what it desires.
Felix Baldus' soul, gazing at the group of gnomes.
There, far away, a luminous life is fading. It floats in misty forms into the depths, and floating wants to gather heaviness.
Hilary soul, with the figure, though resembling a man's, of a steel blue-gray elemental spirit, the head less bowed and the limbs more human.
The mist of wishes is reflection only, thrown on the realms of spirit by the earth star,
that star for which you weave within this world a thinking life from substances of soul. For you it is but fleeting, misty weaving. Yet these are beings, sensing density. They work on earth with cosmic intellect, in ancient fiery depths that thirst for form. Felix Baldassole, I will not let their heaviness oppress me. It gives resistance to the urge to float. Ahriman, such splendid words. I'll seize them fast and hold them unspoiled for myself. You cannot further cherish them yourself, yet you would hate them on the earth. Skadi's soul, only his head is visible. It is in a yellowish-green aura with red and orange stars. Words audibly resounding, echoing? They carry meaning, but their meaning fades. Desire for life is seizing on the echo. Its tone, in which direction will it turn? The other Philea, arrayed like a copy of Lucifer, though the radiance is lacking. Instead of the sword, she has a kind of dagger, and in place of the planet, a red ball, like a fruit. It travels onward with desire for weight, to reach that place where radiant being fades and enters depths in form of misty pictures. Uphold the meaning of that sound within your sphere. I'll take its force into the mist that you may rediscover it on earth. Philea, an angelic figure, yellow merging into white, with wings of a bright violet, a lighter shade than Maria, has later. I'll tend for you the mist-created beings, that they unknowingly may guide your will. I will entrust your will to cosmic light, where they create the warmth your being needs. Astrid, an angelic figure, robed in light violet, with blue wings. I'll radiate the blissful life of stars to them, that they condense it into forms. They will endow with strength your earthly body, from knowledge far, yet near to heart's content. Luna, an angelic figure, robed in blue-red, with orange wings. The ponderous substance formed from weightiness I'll hide from you within your next sense body, that you, in thinking, turn it not to evil, and thus unleash a storm in earth existence. Strader's soul. The three were speaking words here, sun imbued. I see them working actively around me, creating forms and figures manifold. I feel the urge to shape them into one, endowed with strength of soul and filled with meaning. Awaken me, O royal solar power, that I may dim you by the opposition which my desire brings from the lunar sphere. There stirs a golden glow imbued with warmth, and silver gleam that sparkles with cold thoughts. Still glimmer, wishful urge of Mercury. Unite for me the sundered cosmic life. And now I sense an image has again been partly formed, which I must work on here to weave it out of cosmic spirit forces. Exit Ahriman. Capacius's soul appears at the first lines of Strader. Only his head is visible in a blue aura with red and yellow stars. On that far shore of soul a picture rises that's never touched my being since I wrenched myself away from former earth existence. It rays forth grace, benignly, gently weaves. The warming glow of wisdom flows from it and grants my being clarifying light. If I could make this picture one with me, I would obtain the bliss for which I thirst. And yet I do not know what force could bring the picture actively into my sphere. Luna, what in two earthly lives you've gained, feel now. The first flowed by, in ancient times long past, in solemn growth. The later one, you lived, made dark by selfish craving. Fill it now with powers of grace the earlier life endows, and Jupiter's fire souls will be revealed on the horizon of your spirit sight. By wisdom will you then be strengthened, so that the picture you behold upon the far shore of your sphere of soul can ever closer move to you, Capacius's soul. Am I indebted to that other soul that now prepares for being, while it shows a warning vision in my sphere of soul? Astrid, you are indebted, but the other soul does not, in your next earth life, ask redress. The vision wants to give you powers of thought, that you as man may recognize that man who shows you in a picture his earth future. The other Philea. The picture may indeed move closer still, but cannot pierce the sphere of your own life. Hold back, therefore, its urge toward your existence, that you may find yourself again on earth before it flows into your inmost being. Capacius's soul. I can foresee what I will owe the vision if I should bring it closer to my sphere, yet free from it, keep firm within myself. From Philea's domain I can behold in form of pictures, thought imbued, those powers which from its near approach I shall draw forth. Philea, when Saturn soon will shed its rays on you of many-colored light, use well the hour. The picture of the one akin to you will plant the roots of thoughts through Saturn's power into your own soul's sheaths. They will reveal the meaning of life's course on earth for you, when once that star is carrying you again. Capacius's soul. The counsel you have given shall be my guide as soon as Saturn shines its light on me. Lucifer. I wish still to awaken in these souls before they leave behind this sphere of sun with forces for their later life on earth, the sight of worlds whose light will cause them pain. In grief they must be fructified with doubt. I will now conjure up those spheres of soul which they have not the strength to look upon. The souls of Benedictus and Maria appear in the center of the stage. Benedictus in dress and in figure is a microcosmic counterpart of the entire scenic effect. Below, his robe becoming broader, shades into blue-green. Around his head is an aura of red, yellow, and blue. The blue blends into the blue-green of the entire robe. Maria is an angelic figure, yellow shading into gold, without feet, and with light violet wings. Benedictus's soul. You weigh down heavily my cosmic sphere with these condensed, earth-laden spheres of yours. Should you let self-indulgence grow too strong, then you will find that in this spirit life my own sun nature cannot shine within you. Maria's soul. He was unknown to you when you wore last the garment woven of earthly substance. And yet the sun word's power with which benignly he guides you in ancient times on earth continues to bear fruit in your soul sheaths. Oh, feel the deepest urge within your being, and you shall strongly sense that he is near. Felix Balda's soul. Out of spheres strange to me are sounding words whose tones do not create enlightening life, and so they are not fully real to me. Strader's soul. A radiant being there on spirit shores, yet it is silent, though I struggle hard to hear the meaning of those luminous powers. Felicia Balda's soul, figure of a penitent, robe yellow-orange with silver girdle. She appears quite close to Maria. You souls, now conjured up by Lucifer, the penitent can hear your speech as tone, and yet alone the sun word gives him light. Its noble splendor silences your voices. The other soul can see your starry light. The script of stars is still unknown to him. Capacius's soul. The script of stars. This word awakens thoughts. It bears them on the waves of soul to me. Those thoughts that in far distant days on earth revealed themselves to me so gloriously. They radiate, but vanish as they grow. Forgetfulness spreads out its shadowy gloom. The guardian, in symbolic robe, angel-like, enters and moves near Benedictus's and Maria's souls. You souls that by command of Lucifer have now drawn near the spheres of other souls, in this domain you are within my power. The souls whom you are seeking seek you too. But at this cosmic hour, within their spheres, their being shall not touch you by mere thought. Take heed, and do not penetrate their orbits. Yet if you dare, it will harm both you and them. I would be forced to take away from you this starry light, and banish you from them to other spheric realms for cosmic ages. Curtain, end of scene 5. Scene 6 of The Soul's Awakening. Spirit region, similar to that of scene 5. The lighting is warm and diversified, but not too bright. On the left are the sylphs. In front, Philea, Astrid, Luna. Capacius's soul, on the right, near the center of the stage. The vision shown me at the solar hour, in radiant grace and kindly gentleness, holds sway within my being even now, when other light of wisdom shines upon this spirit region in many colored hues. But from the vision comes still stronger force. It wants me to draw forth for future times what in an earlier life a soul has given me, the one who shows himself significantly now to my sphere in picture form. And yet no stream of feeling leads me on to this soul actively. Romanus's soul, a figure showing the upper part of the body down to the hips. He has mighty red wings, which extend around his head into a red aura, running into blue on its outer edge. It stands close to Capacius's soul. The souls of Bellicosus and Torquatus are nearby. Arouse within yourself the image of the Jew, who heard but hate and scorn on every side, yet truly served the mystic brotherhood of which you were a member once on earth. Capacius's soul. There now begin to dawn thought pictures, wanting to seize me with their overpowering strength. There rises Simon's image to my sight out of the surging sea of soul. Another soul is joining him. A penitent, could I but keep him far from me. Felix Balder's soul appears. Romanus's soul. He can be active only at the sun sphere's cosmic hour. In solitude and shrouded in darkness must he wend his way alone when Saturn shines upon this spirit land. Capacius's soul. Oh, how this penitent bewilders me. His rays of soul pierce burningly the sheaths of my own soul. Thus souls are active by beholding inmost depths of other souls. Felix Balder's soul, in a hollow, somewhat veiled voice. My worthy, keen, faithful you have always proved. Capacius's soul. Myself, my very words, from him, as echo sounding forth in spirit realms, this is the soul I am compelled to seek. He knows me well. Through him I'll find myself. Capacius's soul disappears. The other Philea appears from the left, with Theodora's soul. Behind her, Felicia Balder's soul. Romanus's soul. Two souls are drawing near the penitent. Ahead of them the spirit whom, through love, the souls will always choose to be their guide. The first soul radiates a tender light that flows into the other, and she nears us robed, too, as penitent. The vision shines in beauty's glow, which lives as wisdom here. Torquatus's soul, a figure visible only down to the chest, with blue aura, green wings. You see the afterglow of longing's light that I ray forth from my soul sheaths into your sphere, pledged by true spirit brotherhood. The powers of destiny assigned to me the task of stirring gentleness in you. Thus souls serve other souls in spirit. Out of itself your stern, unbending mind would never find the life gift of compassion. Bellicosus's soul, a figure like Torquatus's soul, but with blue-violet aura and blue-green wings. Make strong your power of spirit-hearing. There speaks the soul that radiates the light of mildness, and Saturn's glory draws from out these souls the shining glow of spirit blissfulness. Theodora's soul, an angelic figure, white with yellow wings and blue-yellow aura. O you, my true companion in the spirit, pour forth your soul sheath's loving power to him in gentle, radiant light, that it may soothe his solitude's consuming life for fire force. Direct to him rays of illumined thoughts from yonder shadow souls, that at this time are gathering forces in the spirit worlds to fill their sheaths of soul with glimmering life. Out of their glimmering creative glow, men's souls may draw new strength to quicken thus the sense of growth evolving in earth life. Felicia's soul, you spirit garbed as penitent, feel me. O sun-filled soul, receive the power of stars. Until your spirit sheath can struggle free from Lucifer's dominion, I shall guide you through your solitude and bring to you the forces which I now will gather up in cosmic journeying from star to star. Theodora. Earth thoughts long past arise in glimmering light on yonder shores of souls, a human image. I saw its earthly form. It follows here. What once I heard re-echoes here. Out of the Godhead rose the human soul. In death it can descend to depths of being. It will, in time, from death set free the spirit. During the last lines, Lucifer appears with the soul of Johannes. The other Philea. This living, sounding image carries hither the active force of noble brother love. You once in loyalty displayed on earth. I will transform it into your soul power. The glimmering light of yonder shadow beings receives the word that I direct to you. They will arouse in you in earth existence the thoughts on which they muse eternally. And you, the penitent in spirit realms, turn now your soul steps onward toward the stars, where nature spirits long to use your work to kindle fantasy in human souls, and thus create the wings they'll need on earth. Felicia's soul. I'll follow you, dear sister of my soul, my Philea, who weaves and quickens love from star to star, from spirit unto spirit. I'll follow you aloft to starry worlds. I'll bring your word to many a cosmic sphere. By spirit deeds I'll shape myself anew for my own future wanderings on earth. Felix Balder's soul, led on by Felicia's soul, disappears slowly. Theodora stands motionless, looking at Johannes's soul. Then she also disappears, as does Lucifer, with the soul of Johannes. Romanus's soul. We have beheld within this spirit orb the word of love and word of action join themselves, and this will strengthen in our being the seeds we'll need in future life on earth. The souls of Romanus, Torquatus, and Bellicosus disappear, Benedictus's soul and Maria's soul at the side of the guardian of the threshold appear. The guardian. Perceive and know your cosmic midnight hour. I hold you in the spell of ripened light, which Saturn shines on you until through power of this light, your sheaths, illumining yourselves, can live in stronger wakefulness their colors. Maria's soul. The cosmic midnight hour in soul's awakening? It was within the moon time that the sun spoke the solemn word of destiny. Those human souls who at the cosmic midnight hour are wakeful see lightnings dazzlingly illumine in such swift flashes things that have to be, that spirit visions die on recognition, and dying shape themselves to scripts of fate, forever actively engraved in souls. Such souls hear thunder words reverberating and heavy rumbling through the cosmic grounds that threaten soul illusion as they roll. Lucifer reappears with the soul of Johannes. Benedictus's soul. From ever-empty fields of ice there calls our spirit friend with the voice of destiny.
when we perceive the cosmic midnight hour, we'll reach the spirit orbit of this soul. Maria's soul. The flames are nearing, nearing with my thinking from distant cosmic soul shores of my being. A heated battle nears, and my own thinking must battle with the thoughts of Lucifer. Within another soul my thinking fights. Hot light is wafted. Out of fierce dark coldness it flashes lightnings, this hot light of soul, the light of soul in cosmic fields of ice. Lucifer, perceive this light, hot cosmic light of mine. Behold the lightnings which your thinking strikes from those domains where Lucifer holds sway. Across the bounds of your horizon, here, as you take in the cosmic midnight hour, I bring the soul so closely bound to you. In future you must change your searching's path to come into communion with this soul, and you, O soul, now following me, use here the forces of the light rayed forth by Saturn on her cosmic midnight hour. Johannes' soul. An angelic figure, rose-red, without feet, but with blue-red wings. I can sense souls nearby, but need more strength to fortify their light in me to being. However close they are, they generate a thinking which only lights for me afar. How can I raise them to my spirit's sight? Philea, you will behold them if you swiftly grasp what they illumine in the cosmic light. But when you look, use well the moment's flash. The brightness quickly vanishes again. Johannes' soul. What yonder leader's soul speaks to his pupil, that pupil's soul so close and dear to me, shall shine upon the orbit of my soul. Benedictus' soul. Create within this spirit midnight hour the power of will, which you will feel again when forces of the earth renew your form. Your word will radiate into your friend's soul. Maria's soul. So let in cosmic light my words grow strong, which at this cosmic midnight I entrust unto the soul that Lucifer has brought. All that is dear to me in depths of soul, I will behold it, and beholding, speak, and speaking, form a tone within his soul, that he, perceiving it again on earth, brings lovingly to life within his being. What do I see now in my inmost core? A holy flaming script shines forth to me. My love is flaming out to that dear leader who guided me on earth, who guided me in spirit constantly from age to age, who always found me when in earthly danger my ardent prayer besought his help, although he dwelt in spirit heights. In radiance this love appears to me. Sound forth from me, you word of love, unto the other soul. What flames awaken within that word of love! Gently they flow. Their gentleness enkindles a lofty earnestness. Lightnings of wisdom are flashing, blessing us through cosmic ether, and blissfulness, joy weaving, gushes forth to fill the wide horizon of my soul. O everlasting time, I do entreat you, pour out yourself into this blissfulness, and let the leader, let the other soul abide with me within you, peace imbued. The Guardian. So shall the lightnings melt now into naught, having shone dazzlingly on what must be when wakeful souls live through the cosmic north. Thunder shall lose its rumbling, rolling tone of warning at the cosmic midnight hour. Astrid, to you I give a strict command, safeguard the raging storm within this soul until another cosmic midnight hour finds her awakened in the flow of time. She shall then face herself in ancient times, and know that in the flight to spirit heights her wings gain strength as well by sudden falls. The wish to fall should never tempt the soul, but from each fall it must draw forth more wisdom. Astrid, the lightnings and the thunder's power I'll guard, sustaining them within the cosmic life till Saturn turns again unto her soul. Maria's soul. abiding. I feel blissfulness of stars, and in the stream of time I enter it. Beneath its sway of grace I'll live and work in union with this ever-cherished soul. Luna, I'll guard your work in spirit here for you, so that its fruits may ripen on the earth. Johannes's soul, into my soul's horizon moves this star. It shines forth blissfulness. It glows with grace. A star of soul in cosmic ether, floating, and there in gentle light a second star, though soft it sounds, I'll hear the words it speaks. With his last words, the spirit of Johannes's youth appears, an angelic figure, silvery sheen. Spirit of Johannes's youth, I feed with living substance your desires. My breath will pour into your youthful aims illumining strength when worlds begin to tempt, whereto I joyfully can be your guide. But should you lose me in yourself, I must fall victim to the shades, bereft of being. O blossom of my life, do not forsake me. Lucifer, forsake you he will not. I can perceive desires for light within his depths, desires which stray far from the other soul's pursuits. If these take root within his soul, with splendors they'll brilliantly create, they will bear fruit. Nor will he be content to waste these fruits within the realm where love holds sway, but love deprived of beauty. The curtain falls slowly. The end of scene 6. Scene 7 of The Soul's Awakening. A temple somewhat in Egyptian style, the place of an initiation in the far distant past, the third cultural epoch of the earth. In order to identify each person with his or her later incarnation, the modern name is added in parenthesis. At first only a conversation between the Hierophant, the temple warden, and the mystic. Hierophant, Capacius. Are all the preparations duly made, my temple warden, in order that our holy rite may serve both gods and men? Temple warden, Felix. As far as human forethought can provide, they have been well prepared. The sacred incense has filled the temple now for many days. Hierophant. My mystic, since this priest who will receive today the solemn rites of sacred wisdom is to become the counselor of the king, have you, by testing him, assured yourself that he is not entirely given to wisdom, which, neglecting earthly cares, lets his attention hang on spirit teaching? For such a counselor would do us harm. The mystic, Felicia. The tests were given as the law requires. The masters found them adequate. I think our mystic has but little inclination toward earthly cares. His soul is set upon his spirit progress, the unfolding of his self. He often has been seen in spirit trance. It's not too much to say he revels in the union of the spirit with his soul. Hierophant. Has he been often seen in such a state? The mystic. In truth, he often shows himself like this. He might be better suited to the service of the temple than to be your counselor. Hierophant. It is enough. Now go about your duty. See that our holy rite is well performed. Exit the mystic. To you, my temple warden, I have more to say. You know how much I prize your mystic gifts. To me you stand much higher in your wisdom than well befits your grade within the temple. How often have I taken recourse to your seership to prove this spirit sight of mine? And so I ask, what confidence you have in this new mystic's spirit ripeness? Temple Warden. Why, ask for my opinion. My voice is never counted. Hierophant. For me, it always counts. Today you shall once more stand by my side. We must together watch this holy rite with probing eyes of soul. And should the mystic show in smallest measure his unripeness in spirit for the lofty meaning of our rites, I shall refuse him rank as counselor. Temple Warden.
What could it be that might reveal itself about this mystic at our holy rite?
Hierophant.
I know he is not worthy of the honor the temple servants seek to give to him. His human nature is well known to me. His mystic aims have not that heartfelt urge which stirs in men when light from spirit realms draws souls in grace up to itself. Strong passion surges still throughout his being. The cravings of his senses are not curbed. I do not indeed condemn the will of gods, which wisely also radiates its light upon desire and passion in the stream of being. But when the sensuous urge conceals itself and revels mystically in veneration's mask, it causes thought to lie, perverts the will. The light that weaves the web of spirit worlds can never penetrate into such souls, where passion spreads a mystic fog between.
Temple Warden. My Hierophant, your judgment is severe in dealing with a man who still is young and inexperienced, who cannot know himself, nor take another course than that which priestly guides and mystic leaders say will reach the soul's true goal.
Hierophant. I do not judge the man. I judge the deed that will be wrought within this temple's solemn place. The holy mystic ritual we perform is of significance not only for us here. Through word and deed of sacred priestly rites, there pours the fateful stream of world events. What forms itself in symbols here will come to everlasting life in spirit worlds. But now, good warden, go about your task. You will yourself discover how best to help me in the holy rite.
Exit the temple warden.
It will not be the fault of the young mystic who dedicates himself today to wisdom if, in the hours to come, a wrong emotion, proceeding heedlessly out of his heart, should throw its rays upon our sacred rites and rise as image up to spirit spheres. For from these spheres, in consequence, will flow destructive forces into human life. The guides and leaders are the guilty ones. Do they still recognize the mystic force which penetrates mysteriously with spirit each word and gesture here within the temple? And still this force will work when even elements of soul pour into it which are injurious to world becoming. If only this young mystic consciously would sacrifice himself unto the spirit. Instead his teachers drag him like a victim into the holy place. Here, all unconscious, his soul is yielded up unto the spirit, whereas he would indeed find other paths if he could consciously sustain it in himself. Within the circle of this temple's priesthood, the highest Hierophant alone knows clearly the meaning of the ritual's mystic truths, but he is mute as solitude itself. Such silence his high dignity commands. The others gaze uncomprehendingly when of the ritual's true intent I speak. I am alone, therefore, with lonely care, which often weighs oppressively upon my heart because I feel the import of this shrine. Indeed, I've come to know in deepest measure the solitude of this stern spirit shrine. Why am I all alone here at this place? The soul must question, but the spirit, when will it give the answer to my soul?
Curtain, end of scene 7.
Scene 8 of The Soul's Awakening. The same set as in scene 7. At the beginning, hidden by a curtain before which an Egyptian woman has the following monologue.
An Egyptian woman. Johannes.
This is the hour in which he dedicates himself to serve the ancient holy mysteries, which tear him evermore away from me. From out those heights of light to which his soul has turned, the ray of death descends on mine. Without him there remains for me but sorrow on the earth, renunciation, suffering, and death. But in this hour that he abandons me, I will remain yet near the place in which he gives himself unto the Spirit. And if my eyes are not allowed to see how he will cut himself adrift from earth, perhaps the revelation of a dream, divining him, will bring me close in spirit.
The curtain opens, disclosing everything and almost everyone in readiness for the initiation of the neophyte. Deep silence is sustained for a while. Then the temple warden and the mystic lead in the neophyte through a doorway on the left side. They place him in the inner circle close behind the altar and remain standing near him. The grouping of the ceremony is seen from the audience. On the left, temple warden. It's actually stage left, temple warden. And then on the right, chief hierophant. Behind them, on the left, mystic. On the right, hierophant. In the center behind them, the neophyte at the altar. Behind that, to the left, a recorder. On the right, keeper of the seals. Behind them, on the left, air element. On the right, water element. Behind, on the left, earth element. On the right, fire element. Behind them, on the left, Ahriman as sphinx, with the bull emphasized. On the right, Lucifer as sphinx, with the cherubim emphasized. Behind them in a line, Philea, Astrid, Luna, the other Philea, from left to right. And then in the far back, on the left, two priests. On the right, two priests. Temple warden, Felix. From out that web of unreality, which thou in error's darkness namest world, the mystic has conducted thee to us. From being and from naught the world was made, which to a semblance wove itself for thee. Semblance is good when from reality beheld, but thou didst dream it in the life of semblance, and semblance, known by semblance, fades away. O semblance of a semblance, learn how to know thyself. The mystic, Felicia. So speaks the one who guards the temple's threshold. Feel in thyself the full weight of his word. The representative of the earth element, Romanus. Within the weight of earth's existence, lay hold upon the semblance of thy being fearlessly, that thou mayest sink into the cosmic depths. In cosmic depths search for reality and darkness. Bind to thy semblance that which thou dost find, its weighing down will grant to thee existence. The recorder, Hilary. Thou shalt perceive whereto we lead thee, sinking as soon as thou hast carried out his word. We forge for thee the form of thine own being. Know thou our work, or thou must vanish as semblance in the cosmic nothingness. The mystic. So speaks the one who guards this temple's words. Feel in thyself the word's down-weighing might. The representative of the air element, Germanus Bellicosus. Escape from heavy weight of earth existence, which kills the being of thyself in sinking. Take flight from it with lightness of the air. In cosmic space search for reality in brightness. Bind to thy semblance that which thou dost find in flying. It will grant to thee existence. The recorder. Thou shalt perceive whereto we lead thee, flying, as soon as thou hast carried out his word. We light for thee the life of thine own being. Know thou our work, or thou must vanish as semblance in the cosmic weightiness. The mystic. So speaks the one who guards the temple's words. Feel in thyself the word's uplifting force. The chief hierophant, Benedictus. My son, thou shalt upon high wisdom's path obey with right concern the mystic's words. Thou canst not see the answer in thyself, for error's darkness still doth weigh thee down. Delusion strives in thee for distant heights. Gaze, therefore, on this flame, which is more close. The sacred fire with bright tongues of flame flares up on the altar in the center of the stage. Gaze, therefore, on this flame, which is more close to thee than is the life of thine own being, and read thine answer hidden in the fire. The mystic. So speaks the one who leads this temple's rites. Feel in thyself the ritual's holy power. The representative of the fire element, Strader. The error in thy sense of self be burned in fire, enkindled in this rite for thee.
burn thou thyself with substance of thine error. In cosmic fire seek reality as flame. Bind to thy semblance that which thou dost find. In burning it will grant to thee existence. The Keeper of the Seals, Theodora. Thou shalt perceive why to a flame we form thee as soon as thou hast carried out his word. We cleanse for thee the form of thine own being. Know thou our work, or thou must lose thyself within the cosmic ocean formlessly. The Mystic. So speaks the one who guards the temple's seal. Feel in thyself the brightening power of wisdom. The Representative of the Water Element, Theodosius Torquatus. Prevent the world of fire's flaming power from robbing thee of self-sustaining might. Semblance will not arise into existence unless the wave beat of the cosmic ocean can penetrate thee with its spheric tone. In cosmic ocean seek reality as wave. Bind to thy semblance that which thou dost find. In surging it will grant to thee existence. The Keeper of the Seals. Thou shalt perceive why to a wave we form thee as soon as thou hast carried out his word. We shape for thee the form of thine own being. Know thou our work, or thou must lose thyself as formless being in the cosmic fire. The Chief Hierophant. My son, thou shalt, by stalwart exercise of will, obey with right concern these mystics' words. Thou canst not see the answer in thyself. By cowardly fear thy power is frozen still. Thou canst not shape thy weakness to a wave that lets thee sound throughout the spheres. So listen to the forces of thy soul, and recognize thy voice within their words. Philea. In fire cleanse thyself, and lose thyself as cosmic wave in tones of spirit spheres. Astrid. Form thou thyself in tones of spirit spheres, in cosmic distances fly light as air. Luna. In cosmic depths sink heavily as earth, take courage as a self in weightiness. The other Philea. Unloose thyself from out thy narrow selfhood. Unite with forces of the elements. The Mystic. So speaks within the temple thine own soul. Feel thou therein the guidance of its powers. The Chief Hierophant to the Hierophant. My brother Hierophant, explore this soul, which we must lead toward wisdom's path, down to its depths. Proclaim to us what thou beholdst within its present state. The Hierophant, Capacius. Fulfilled is what our ritual ordains. The soul has now forgotten what it was. Opposing elements have swept away the web of semblance spun on error's loom, which still in elemental strife lives on. The soul its inner core alone has rescued. It must now read what lives within this core as cosmic word that speaks out of the flame. The Chief Hierophant. O human soul, now read what through the flame the cosmic word proclaims within thyself. A long pause occurs, during which the stage becomes completely dark. Only the flame and the indistinct outlines of the figures are visible. Then the Chief Hierophant continues. And now, from out the cosmic vision, wake, declare what can be read as cosmic word. The neophyte is silent. The Chief Hierophant, much alarmed, continues. He's silent. The vision has escaped you. Speak. The neophyte, Maria. Obedient to your stern and sacred words, I sank into the being of this flame, awaiting sounds of lofty cosmic words. The assembled priests, with the exception of the Hierophant, show an ever-increasing alarm during the speech of the neophyte. I felt that I could liberate myself from weight of earth and be as light as air.
I felt the loving tide of cosmic fire receiving me as flowing spirit waves. I saw the body that I wear on earth as other beings stand outside myself. Though wrapped in bliss and conscious of the light of spirit round me, yet I could regard my earthly sheath with longing and desire. Spirits rayed light on it from lofty worlds, like shining butterflies. There hovered near the beings, tending, quickening its life. The body in these beings' flickering light reflected sparkling colors, manifold. They shone close by, grew fainter, further off, and then were scattered and dispersed in space. Within my spirit soul existence rose the wish that gravity of earth would plunge me down into my sheath, where I might feel and hold the sense of joy and warmth of life. Thus, gladly diving down into my sheath, I heeded your stern summons to awake. The Chief Hierophant, himself terrified, too, the terrified priests.
This is no spirit vision. Earth's desires, wrung from the mystic, rose as offering to radiant spirit heights. Oh, sacrilege, sacrilege!
The recorder, angrily to the Hierophant.
It never would occur had you performed the duty granted you as Hierophant, which ancient holy practice has ordained.
The Hierophant. I did the duty which from higher realms was laid upon me in this solemn hour. I barred myself from thinking of that word which ritual customs have enjoined on me. The word which, sent forth from my thinking, should work in spirit on the neophyte. And now the young man has declared to us not thoughts of others, but of his own being. The truth has triumphed. You may punish me. I had to do what shocks you into fright. I feel the time approaching that will free the single ego from a group-bound spirit and liberate his individual thought. What if the youth escapes your mystic path at present? Later lives on earth will show with clearest signs the kind of mystic way which powers of destiny ordained for him. The mystics, oh, sacrilege! Demand atonement! Punish! The sphinxes begin to speak. Hitherto they have been motionless statues. What they say is heard only by the Hierophant, the Chief Hierophant, and the Neophyte. The others are full of excitement over the preceding events. Ahriman as Sphinx. For my domain, I want to capture here what here unduly seeks the light, and I must further foster it in darkness. Thus will it form in spirit its own power, to weave itself in future into human life, as beneficial in its rightful time. Yet still it gains this power. I will make subservient to my work what here appeared within this holy rite as weight of earth. Lucifer as Sphinx. I want to carry off into my realm what here as spirit wish has joy and semblance. As semblance it should gladly shine in light, and so in spirit dedicate itself to beauty. At present it is kept from this by burden of earth weightiness. In beauty can semblance change itself into reality, as light descending that escapes from here. It shall, in future, be the light of earth. The Chief Hierophant. The Sphinxes speak. Who were but images, since ancient sages first performed this rite? It is the spirit that has seized on lifeless form. O fate, through you resounds the cosmic word. The other priests, with the exception of the Hierophant and the Neophyte, are amazed at the words of the Chief Hierophant. The Hierophant to the Chief Hierophant. The holy mystic ritual we perform is of significance not only here for us, through word and deed of sacred priestly rites, there pours the fateful stream of world events. While the mood of excitement is at its height, the curtain falls. The end of Scene 8. Scene 9 of The Soul's Awakening. A small room in Hilary's house, with a general atmosphere of seriousness, like a study. At first Maria, alone in meditation, then Astrid appears, later Luna, the guardian of the threshold, and Benedictus. Maria. A star of soul,
there, at the spirit shore, it draws near, nears in spirit brightness. Myself it brings, and nearing its light gains strength, gains calmness too. You star within the circuit of my spirit. What approaching shines on my beholding soul?
Astrid appears.
Astrid, perceive what I can now bestow on you. From cosmic strife of light with darknesses, I wrested thinking's power. Faithfully I bring it back into your earthly form, from out the cosmic midnight's wakening.
Maria,
O Astrid, until now you have appeared as shining shadow only of my soul. What forms you into this bright spirit star?
Astrid,
I kept the lightnings and the thunder's power to hold them safe for you in soul existence, and now you can behold them knowingly, recalling thus the cosmic midnight hour.
Maria,
the cosmic midnight hour, before the sheath of body enclosed myself on earth, passed wakingly in Saturn's light-filled color. My earthly thinking has till now, concealed this spirit life in dullness of the soul. It rises upward now in clearest vision.
Astrid,
within the cosmic light you spoke the word, O everlasting time, I do entreat you, pour out yourself into this blissfulness, and let the leader, let the other soul abide with me, within you, peace imbued.
Maria,
abide you too, O moment, you that could create for me this spirit happening as strength of self. Prepare and arm my soul, that you may not pass from me like a dream. Within the light that lights the cosmic midnight, which Astrid now creates out of my dullness, my ego joins that self that for its service created me within the universe. But how, O moment, do I hold you fast, in order not to lose you when my senses feel once again earth clarity around me? For mighty is their strength. And if they deaden this spirit vision, dead it will remain when the self again in spirit finds itself.
Luna appears as if called by these last words.
Luna, preserve and heed. Before your sense existence brings you to dream again, the power of will, which now this moment could create for you. Recall the words I spoke myself when you beheld me at the cosmic midnight hour.
Maria,
my Luna, from the cosmic midnight hour you brought me my own power of will, to be a firm support within my earth existence.
Luna,
the guardian's warning followed thus my words. You shall behold yourself quite differently as image of yourself in ancient times, and know that in the flight to spirit heights your wings gain strength as well by sudden falls. The wish to fall should never tempt the soul, but from each fall it must draw forth more wisdom.
Maria,
whereto does your word's power carry me?
A spirit star, there at the shores of soul. It radiates, draws near, in spirit form myself it brings and nears, approaching, nearing, its light now grows in density, forms darken within the light, they shape themselves to beings, a youthful mystic and a sacred flame, the highest hierophant's austere command to tell the vision seen within the flame.
The group of mystics, overcome by fear because of the young mystic's self-confession.
The guardian appears during her last lines.
The guardian, in spirit listening, fathom for yourself the highest hierophant's austere command.
Maria,
O human soul, now read what through the flame the cosmic word proclaims within itself.
Who spoke these words, which my own thinking, recalling, lets emerge from tides of soul?
Benedictus appears after the first line.
Benedictus,
With my own words you called me here to you. When in times past I gave you this command, you were not yet prepared to follow me. My word then dwelt in evolution's womb. The lengthy course of time gave it new strength, which flowed to it out of your inner life. Thus it was active during later lives on earth, in your soul depths, unconsciously. Through it you found me as your guide again. Now it transforms itself as conscious thought into the mighty purpose of your life. The holy mystic ritual we perform is of significance not only here for us. Through word and deed of sacred priestly rites, there pours the fateful stream of world events. Maria, it was not you who spoke those words. It was the Hierophant, who used to be your comrade within that ancient mystic brotherhood. He knew that by the power of destiny, its end was then already foreordained. Unconsciously, the Hierophant foresaw the rosy dawn of beauty's shining semblance, announce a new sun rising over Hellas within the spirit current of the earth. So he forbore to send the power of thought, which he should have directed to my soul. He was the cosmic spirit's instrument, there at the holy rite, through which he heard the whispering stream of cosmic evolution. He spoke a word then from his inner depths. Indeed, I've come to know in deepest measure the solitude of this stern spirit shrine. Why am I all alone here at this place? Benedictus. Into his soul the seed of solitude was planted. Later it matured and grew into a soul fruit in the womb of time. Capacius is tasting now this fruit, as mystic, driving him to follow Felix. Maria. But there is still that woman who was waiting near by the temple, whom I see in ancient times, and yet my sight can still not penetrate to where she is today. How can I find her when sense life makes me dream again? The Guardian. You will discover her when in soul realms you see that being which she feels as shade among the shades. She strives for it with strongest power of soul. She will not free it from the realm of shades till in her present body, through your aid, she will behold her long past life on earth. The Guardian and Benedictus disappear. Maria. There moves as star of soul the solemn Guardian, in glowing light unto my soul horizon. His shining spreads forth calmness through great spaces. Solemnity shines forth from him. His sternness pours strength into my being's deepest core. I will submerge myself in peacefulness. I can divine that through it I will guide myself to fullest spirit wakening. I hold you fast, my messengers of soul, forever fast, alive as radiant stars. I call on you, O Astrid, when my thoughts tend to withdraw from clarity of soul. And may my word find you, O Luna, when in soul depths power of will is fast asleep. Curtain, end of scene 9. Scene 10 of The Soul's Awakening. The same room, Johannes alone in meditation. Johannes. This is the hour when he will dedicate himself to serve the ancient holy rites. Perhaps the revelation of a dream will let me linger close to him in spirit. The woman I behold as spirit image spoke thus in ancient times outside the temple. Remembering her, I feel how much I'm strengthened. What does this picture rouse in me? What holds me on seeing it so spellbound? Certainly it is not sympathy to which this picture compels me. For if I saw this scene in sense existence, it would have for me no meaning. What wants to speak to me from this? As if from afar, the voice of the other Philea. The other Philea. Enchanted weaving of your own being. Johannes. And wakening, dreaming, reveals to the souls the enchanted weaving of their own being. While Johannes is speaking these lines, the other Philea approaches him. Mysterious spirit, tell me who you are. You brought true counsel to my soul, and yet as to yourself, you have deceived me.
the other Philea. Johannes, you created from yourself your being's second form. As shadow, too, I must encircle you so long till you yourself can liberate that shade on which your guilt bestows a spellbound life. Johannes, it is the third time that you speak these words. I will obey. Direct for me the way. The other Philea. Johannes, search for what within yourself has been preserved alive in spirit light. It will give light to you from its own light. Thus you can look within yourself to see how in your next life to erase your guilt. Johannes, how shall I search for what has been preserved within myself alive in spirit light? The other Philea, so give me what you are yourself when thinking, and lose yourself in me a little while, but do not change into another self. Johannes, how can I give myself to you until I have beheld you in your truest being? The other Philea, I am in you. I'm part of your own soul. I am myself the power of love in you. The heartfelt hopes that come to life in you, the fruits of long past lives in earth, preserved for you within your present life, oh, see them all through me. Feel what I am, and through my power in you behold yourself. Search out the meaning of that picture, which your vision without feeling formed for you. The other Philea disappears. Johannes, O, you mysterious spirit, I can feel yourself in me, but you I see no more. You are alive for me, but where? As if from afar the call of the other Philea. The other Philea, enchanted weaving of your own being. Johannes, the enchanted weaving of my own being. O, enchanted weaving of my own being, search out the meaning of that picture which my vision, without feeling, formed for me. Whereto does this word's power carry me? A spirit star on yonder shore of souls. It glows, approaches, as a spirit form, comes nearer, growing brighter, forms take shape. Like beings are they, active and alive. A youthful neophyte, a sacred flame, the stern command of highest Hierophant to speak the inner meaning of the flame. The youthful neophyte seeks now the woman whom, image-like, my vision without feeling formed. Maria appears as a thought form of Johannes. Maria, behold the sacred flame, who thought of you? Who felt you near the temple's holy rites? My friend, if you would wrench your spirit shade away from worlds of soul enchantment now, give life to aims that shine on you from him. The sign that you pursue will lead you on, but you must rightly rediscover it. The woman near the temple points it out when she lives powerfully within your thoughts. She strives among enchanted shadow spirits to draw near to the other shadow being, who through you does evil service to cruel shades. The spirit of Johannes' youth appears. The spirit of Johannes' youth. I will be bound to you and joined forever if lovingly you cultivate the powers that youthful neophyte of ages past kept faithfully for me in time's deep source. That neophyte your soul sought at the temple. And you must also see in very truth the spirit at whose side I now appear. Maria. Maria, as you have desired to see her, does not exist in worlds of radiant truth. My holy, solemn vow raise forth new strength to hold for you what you have gained. You will find me in bright fields of light, where glowing beauty brings forth powers of life. Seek me in grounds of worlds where souls must struggle to achieve their feeling for the gods through love, which in the all beholds the self. While Maria is speaking the last lines, Lucifer appears. Lucifer, so work
compelling powers, and feel, you elemental spirits, the forces of your master, then pave the way, that from the realms of earth there can come forth to Lucifer's domain what my wish desires, what shall obey my will. Benedictus appears. Benedictus. Maria's holy solemn vow creates within this soul redeeming rays of light. He will admire you, but not succumb to you. Lucifer. I mean to fight. Benedictus. And fighting, serve the gods. Curtain, end of scene 10. Scene 11 of The Soul's Awakening. The same room. Benedictus and Strotter enter. Strotter. You spoke grave words, Maria also, harsh ones, when, at my life's abyss, you showed yourselves. Benedictus. You know, those pictures are not fully real. Their inner meaning tries to reach the soul and thus reveals itself in picture form. Strotter. And yet, how harsh was what the picture spoke. Where is your light, you radiant fierce darkness? You pour confusing darkness into light. So in Maria's image spoke the spirit. Benedictus. Because you have attained a higher stage upon the spirit path, that spirit being, who led you to itself aloft, declared that all that you had reached before was darkness. It shows Maria's image, since your soul has visualized this spirit in her form. The spirit, my dear Strotter, at this hour works mightily within you, and will lead you on swift wings to lofty grades of soul. Strotter. Yet terrifying still resound the words, you are too cowardly to ray out light. This too the spirit spoke in that same picture. Benedictus. The spirit had to call you cowardly, for cowardice indeed is for your soul what would be bravery in lesser souls. As we progress, what formerly was courage turns into cowardice that must be conquered. Strotter. How deeply moving are these words to me. Romanus told me recently his plans. I was to carry out the work myself, apart from you, without your help, and then he was prepared to stand by Hilary with all his earthly means and influence. When I declared I could not separate my work from you and from your circle, he replied that then all further effort were in vain. Romanus backs the opposition of Hilary's assistant to my plans. Without these plans, my life indeed seems worthless. Since these two men have torn away from me my field of action, I see ahead of me a life bereft of air that can sustain it. In order that my spirit does not prove unwinged and lame, I need that bravery of which you spoke just now. If I shall have the strength for this, I cannot tell. For I can well perceive how much the force that I am trying to unchain at that same time will turn with its destructive power on me. Benedictus. Maria and Johannes have recently progressed in seership. From moving forward from the life in spirit into the world of sense, there's nothing holds them back. In course of time, goals will be found to join them both with you. Not as a guide, but as creative source of strength. These occult words indeed have value. All that will come that has to come about. Therefore in wakefulness must we await the signs by which the spirit points the way. Strotter. A picture lately formed itself, which seemed to be for me a hint of destiny. I was aboard a ship. You gave the course. I, hand on wheel, controlled the rudder's task. Maria and Johannes we were taking where they might start their work. Quite near to us appeared another ship. We saw in it Romanus with the friend of Hilary. They lay athwart our course as enemies. I battled with them. Then into the fight came Ahriman, strode forward at their side. I saw myself in bitter fight with him, but then my Theodora came to help me. And now the picture faded from my sight. I once was bold enough to tell Capacius and Felix I could bear the opposition, which outwardly is threatening my work.
Yes, even if it breaks my power of will, I still could hold erect my selfhood. That picture, did it wish to let me know that outer opposition only means an inner battle? To battle Ahriman? Am I then armed and strong enough to fight? Benedictus, my friend, I see within your soul this picture has not yet matured for you. I feel that you can strengthen still the power which showed the image to your spirit eyes, and I can also see you will create new forces for yourself and for your friends, if only you will rightly strive for strength. This I can sense. How it will come to pass remains a secret hidden from my sight. Curtain. End of scene 11. Scene 12 of The Soul's Awakening. The interior of the earth. Gigantic crystal formations, with streams like lava breaking through them. The whole scene is faintly luminous, transparent in some parts, and with the light shining through from behind in others. Above are red flames which appear to be pressed downward from the roof. Ahriman, at first alone. There falls essential stuff now from above, of which I must make use. Demonic matter corrodes away in the domain of form. A man is striving to extirpate completely from his being the spirit substance he received from me. I have inspired him in the main quite well, but he's too close now to that crowd of mystics who by the wisdom light of Benedictus could boldly dare effect awakening at the cosmic midnight hour. So Lucifer has lost them, and Maria and Johannes have well escaped from his domain of light. Henceforth I must tenaciously hold Strader. Once he is mine, I'll catch the others too. Johannes stunned and blunted himself badly against my shadow. Now he knows me well. I cannot get at him except through Strader, and in Maria's case it is the same. Still, Strader may not yet look through the maze of spirit that appears to men as nature. He'll not perceive in it my spirit baggage, supposing rather that he sees blind weavings of energy and matter there, where I, denying spirit, spiritually create. The others, I admit, have talked a lot to Strader of my being and my realm, and yet I don't regard him as quite lost. He will forget that Benedictus sent him to me in a half-conscious state to rid him of his belief that I am nothing but a silly specter of the human brain. But I'll need earthly help should I abduct him to my domain before it is too late. So now I'll call me down a human soul that thinks itself so clever that to it I'm nothing but a stupid fraud for fools. He serves me now and then, when I can use him. Ahriman goes off and returns with the soul of Ferdinand Fox, whose figure is a sort of copy of his own. Entering, he removes a bandage from the eyes of the individual who is playing the soul. Ahriman. His earth intelligence he'll leave behind him. He must not understand all that he hears from me, for he is honest still, and would not do my work for me if he could grasp the aims with which I plan now to inspire him. He also must forget them later on. Do you know Dr. Strader, he who serves me? The soul of Ferdinand Fox. He roves about upon the earthly star, trying to bring to life his learned drivel. Each windy puff of life will knock it down. He listens greedily to mystic snobs, and by their fumes already is half choked. And now he tries befogging Hilary, whose friend, however, keeps him well in check, because that bragging bunch of crooks would soon destroy the firm with spirit blubberings. Ahriman. With such a line of talk I am not served. It's Strader that I need. As long as he can still have perfect faith within himself, will Benedictus easily succeed in forcing all his teaching on mankind. The friend of Hilary might be of service to Lucifer, but I must otherwise proceed through Strader. I must damage Benedictus. Should he lose Strader,
he'll accomplish nothing with all his other pupils here and now. It's true my enemies are still most potent, and Strada, after death, will then be theirs. If I perplex and lead his soul astray on earth, my gain would be that Benedictus makes use of him no further as outrider. Already in the Book of Fate I've read that Strada's course of life will soon be run. This Benedicta surely cannot see. My loyal knave, you're almost super cunning. You take me for a stupid fool's invention. Men listen to your clever reasoning. So go at once to Strada and explain his mechanism actually is faulty, not just because of unpropitious times it's failed, but in itself it's thought out badly. The soul of Ferdinand Fox. For that I think I'm well prepared. For long my pondering is aimed at proving clearly beyond the shadow of a doubt to Strada that he has gone astray, misled by errors. If someone racked his brain for many a night about such stuff, he well can think the failure does not lie in his own thinking, but that it's really due to outer causes. In Strada's case, it's truly pitiful. If he'd stayed out of all that mystic fog and used his intellect and common sense, mankind would certainly have profited immensely from his great potential gifts. Ahriman. See to it now that you are armed with shrewdness. Your task shall be to undermine the trust that Strada up to now has in himself. No longer then will he desire to hold to Benedictus, who must soon rely upon himself alone and his own plans. But these are not so pleasing to the people. His aims will all the more on earth be hated, the more their inmost nature is revealed. The soul of Ferdinand Fox. I see already how to demonstrate to Strada where his thinking's error lies. His new machine embodies a mistake, but he is unaware of it, because the mystic darkness keeps him from this fact. I, with my down-to-earth mentality, can be of so much better help to him. I've wanted this already for some time, but did not know how to accomplish it. Now, finally, I feel myself inspired. I'll concentrate on all the arguments which must for sure convince him of the truth. Ahriman leads out the soul of Ferdinand Fox and again blindfolds the individual playing the soul before he is allowed to depart. Ahriman, alone. He will be able to give expert aid service. The mystic light on earth is burning me. I must press onward, but without permitting the mystics to reveal my work to men. The soul of Theodora appears. The soul of Theodora. However much you force yourself on Strada, I shall stay at his side, for he has found me upon bright paths of soul, and is united with me wherever he must lead his life, in spirit land or in the earthly realm. Ahriman. If she indeed will not forsake him now, as long as he is dwelling still on earth, the battle will be lost for me. But there is hope that he can finally forget her. Curtain. End of scene 12. Scene 13 of The Soul's Awakening. A large reception room in the house of Hilary. When the curtain opens, Hilary and Romanus in conversation. Later, Capasius, Felix Balde, the secretary, Philea. Hilary. It pains me to confess to you, my friend, the knot of destiny which forms itself here in our circle nearly crushes me. What can we build upon with nothing firm? The friends of Benedictus keep aloof, through you, from all your aims, and Strada's burdened and torn by bitter agonies of doubt. A man who often shrewdly and with hatred has been opposed to all our occult strivings was able to point out to him that he has been quite wrong about his mechanism, and that it in itself will be unworkable, not just because of outer hindrances. Life has not favored me with any fruits. I wished for deeds, yet thoughts which could have brought them to fruition never came to me. Soul emptiness has tortured me most sharply. Only my spirit vision has upheld me, and yet in Strada's case I was deceived. Romanus. I often felt as if a dreadful nightmare were pressing painfully upon my soul.
when, through the current of events, your words could gravely show themselves in error, and thus your spirit vision seemed illusion. The nightmare grew to be my inner guide. Through it a feeling was released in me that now can well illuminate my judgment. You trusted spirit vision much too blindly, and so as error it appears to you, when nonetheless it leads you toward the truth. In Strada's case you were correct, despite the things that super-clever man thought up. Hilary, your faith still does not waver. You hold fast to the opinion which you had of Strada? Romanus, I came to it for reasons unrelated to Strada's friends. They are still valid, whether his mechanism may prove true or faulty. Supposing he has made mistakes with it, well, man, through error, finds the way to truth. Hilary, the failure does not disconcert you, you whom life has offered nothing but success? Romanus, success comes if you are not afraid of failure. We have to understand the occult view in its true meaning for our special case. It shows us clearly how to think of Strada. He certainly will prove victorious in battles that lay open spirit portals. Undaunted, he will stride to pass the threshold where stands the guardian of the spirit land. I've taken deeply to my heart the word which this stern guardian at the threshold spoke. I sense his presence now at Strada's side. If Strada sees him, or unconsciously comes near him, that in truth I cannot fathom, but I believe to know him well enough. With courage, he will come to the conviction that self-enlightenment must come through pain. The will becomes companion to the one who bravely goes to meet what is to come, and fortified by hope's strength-giving stream, will boldly face the pain which knowledge brings. Hilary. My friend, I thank you for these occult words. I've heard them often. For the first time now I feel the secret meaning they contain. The cosmic ways are hard to penetrate, and I, dear friend, am called upon to wait until the Spirit shows me the direction, which is in keeping with my spirit sight. Both exit right. Capacius and Felix Balda enter from the left. The secretary shows them into the room. Secretary. I thought that Benedictus would return today. However, he is not yet back from his long journey. If you will try again tomorrow, you will surely find him here. Felix Balda. Then may we speak with our friend Hilary? Secretary. I'll go and tell him that you're waiting here. Exit Secretary. Felix Balda. Your vision is indeed significant. Could you repeat to me what you have said? One can't evaluate these things correctly unless they're grasped exactly in the spirit. Capacius. It was this morning. I could feel myself quite close to a true mystic's solemn mood, the senses silent, memory silent too, expecting only spirit happenings. At first appeared what I'm familiar with, but then the soul of Strada stood distinct before my spirit sight. He did not speak. It gave me time to measure my alertness, and soon I heard his words, completely clear. Stray not from the true mystic's solemn mood, as if from his soul depths the words resounded. Then he continued with great emphasis, to strive for nothing, wait in peaceful stillness, one's inmost being filled with expectation. That is the mystic mood, and of itself it wakes, unsought amid the stream of life. And when the soul has strengthened itself rightly, in spirit search, imbued with powers of thought, this mood comes often in our quiet hours, in heat of action too, but then it wants the soul not to withdraw in thoughtlessness from gently viewing spirit happenings. Felix Balda, this speech sounds almost like an echoing of my own words, yet not quite what I meant. Capacius, on close consideration, one might find a meaning in full contrast to your words. And this interpretation is confirmed on pondering what he went on to say. Whoever wakes with artifice, the mystic mood, diverts himself only into himself. He weaves indeed before the realm of light the darkness of his self-indulgence. Whoever strives for this through mysticism destroys his spirit sight through mystic fancy. Felix Balda.
This can be nothing else than my own words, reversed by Strotter's spirit views, and then re-echoing in you as harmful error.
Capacious.
Moreover, Strotter's final words were these.
A man will never find the spirit world by wanting to unlock it through his seeking. Truth does not sound within the soul of him who through the years has only sought a mood.
Philea appears, perceptible only to Capacius. Felix Balder shows by his attitude that he does not comprehend what follows.
Philea. Capacius, if you will soon pay heed to what, unsought, in seeking, shows itself, the multicolored light will strengthen you and permeate you with its pictured essence, because the forces of your soul reveal it. What, then, your sun-filled self can radiate, will be subdued by Saturn's ripened wisdom, and to your inner sight will be revealed what you can comprehend as earthly man. Then I myself shall lead you to the guardian, who at the spirit threshold keeps his watch.
Felix Balder.
Out of spheres strange to me are sounding words whose tones do not create enlightening life, and so they are not fully real to me.
Capacius.
The admonition Philea gives to me shall lead me on, so that in coming times may be revealed to me, as well in spirit, what I as earthly man already find in my life's circle understandable.
Curtain. The end.
Scene 14 of The Soul's Awakening. The same room as in scene 13. At the beginning, the wife of Hilary in conversation with the business manager.
Hilary's wife.
Destiny itself did not desire the deed my husband thought imperative. It almost seems so. Noticing the threads which fate has spun and now entangled here into a knot that binds our lives so firmly.
Manager.
Into a knot of destiny, which seems insoluble indeed to human sense.
And so, I take it, it must needs be cut.
I see no other possibility than that a severance be made between your husband's work and my own sphere of life.
Hilary's wife.
To separate himself from you, he never will. It contradicts the spirit of the firm, that spirit carried on from his dear father and faithfully continued by his son.
Manager.
This trust, has it not been already broken? The aims that Hilary envisioned surely must deviate from those his father's spirit had always wanted to pursue.
Hilary's wife.
My husband's happiness entirely depends on the success of these new goals. I saw how he was utterly transformed since they had sprung to life like lightning flashes within his mind. His life had brought him only a dreary inner emptiness, which he had hid carefully from even closest friends, but which consumed his own life force the more. He thought himself a mere non-entity, because there did not germinate in him ideas worth the bringing into life. But when the plan for these activities was brought to him, he was rejuvenated, another man, and full of joy. These aims gave to his life new values, made it worthy. That you could set yourself against him did not occur to him until he saw it. He felt the blow more heavy than any other than that in his life has yet befallen him. If you could only realize the pain you caused him, you would surely be less harsh.
Manager.
To act against my own conviction seems to me like losing my own dignity. To see myself put at the side of Strotter oppresses me. However, I decided to bear this burden for Romanus's sake. He spoke to me of Strotter, and I know that what he said to me is the beginning of my development in spirit striving. Out of his words was flaming forth a power that entered actively into my soul. Such power I had never felt before. His counsel carries weight for me, although I cannot follow yet with understanding. Romanus intercedes for Strotter only. The others share in the activities appear to him as hindrance to the work, and also as a danger to themselves. So much I value what Romanus thinks, that I believe if Strotter cannot find a way to act without his friends, it would become for him a sign of destiny, a sign that he remain now with these friends and later on, through his own occult striving, create new impulses for outer deeds. The fact that recently he's come much closer than before to all his friends, despite a slight estrangement from them for a while, makes me believe that he will find a place within this state of things, though it involves a failure for the present of his aims. Hilary's wife. You're seeing Strader only from that viewpoint which by Romanus was disclosed to you. You should regard him more impartially. He can so steep himself in spirit life that he appears removed from earth existence. The spirit is then full reality to him, and Theodora still alive. In speaking to him, it appears as if she too were present. Many mystics can express the spirit message in such words as bring conviction after careful thought. What Strader speaks has its effect within the spoken word itself. One sees how little he values the inner spirit life that finds sufficient satisfaction in the feelings. The urge for spirit research is his guide. With mysticism, he will not obscure his scientific mind that proves in life both practical and useful. Try to see this quality in him, and learn through him how he has formed a judgment of his friends that should then seem to you of greater weight than the opinion that Romanus has. Manager. In such a situation, far removed from what my thinking is accustomed to, Romanus's judgment seems like solid ground to stand on. If I should step into those realms which bring me close to mysticism, I would need the guidance of a man who's won my fullest confidence, because I've come to understand his character completely. The secretary enters. Manager. You look upset, my friend. What has occurred? Secretary, hesitantly. A few hours ago, our Dr. Strader died. Manager. Died? Strader? Hilary's wife. Strader dead? Oh, where is Hilary? Secretary. He's in his room. It seems quite stricken by the news just brought to him from Strader's home. Exit the wife of Hilary. The secretary follows. Manager, alone. Died. Strader. Is this reality? Am I affected by the spirit sleep of which I've heard so much? The power of destiny that guides the threads of life shows a stern face. O little soul of mine! What mighty power has now laid hold upon your thread of fate and given it a part within this knot? Yes, that will come which has to come about. Why is it that these words have never left my mind since Strader spoke them long ago to Hilary and to myself? As if they reached him from another world, they sounded, spoken by one transported into spirit regions. What has to come about? I feel the spirit world laid hands upon me then. Within these words there sounds its language, sternly. It sounds. How do I learn to comprehend it? Curtain, end of scene 14. The last scene of The Soul's Awakening by Rudolf Steiner and the last of his mystery plays. Scene 15. The same as in scene 14. Strader's nurse sits waiting. The secretary enters. Later Benedictus, Ahriman. Secretary. Soon Benedictus will be here himself to take the message safely from your hands. He was away and has returned just now. Our Dr. Strader, what a man he was. At first I did not have much confidence in Hilary's ambitious plan of work, but often in my presence Strader spoke, describing everything the work required. Then my objections quickly lost their force. Ardent and full of spirit, sensing strongly the possible and what was purposeful, he ever strove to reach the final goal by keeping always clearly in his mind the facts themselves, while presupposing nothing in form of idealistic thought. He worked as any mystic should, as men must do who wish to see the beauty of a view from highest mountain peaks, and yet they wait till they have reached the heights and do not try to form in mind the picture in advance. Nurse, you saw him in the midst of active work. A man of special gifts, unbending spirit. And in the weeks I was allowed to give him last services on earth, I could admire his loftiness of soul. This gentle soul, except for 7 years of rarest bliss, passed through his earthly life in loneliness. The mystics offered him their wisdom. He, however, needed love, and his desire for deeds was love, indeed a love which seeks to show itself in life in many forms.
and what this soul sought on the mystic path was needful to his being's noble fire, as sleep is to the body after toil. Secretary. For him, the spirit wisdom was the source of what he thought, and everything he did was always fully charged with its ideals. Nurse. Because it was his nature to give himself and love unswervingly, with all his soul, what life could offer as its sum and substance. His last thoughts, too, were still about his work, to which he was devoted with the deepest love. As men depart from beings whom they love, the soul of Strader took its leave of all the earthly work to which his love belonged. Secretary. He lived with all his being in the spirit, and Theodora always stood beside him as living. All true mystics feel like this. Nurse. Because his loneliness joined him to her. At death she was still with him, and by her he felt that he was called to spirit worlds to finish there his uncompleted task. Not long before he died, for Benedictus, he wrote the words which now I wanted to put into our spirit leader's hands myself. And so upon the earth this life of ours must take its course, replete with riddles, yet illumined by sun beings such as he, from whom the others, just as planets do, receive the light rays which awaken life. Benedictus enters, exit the secretary. Nurse. These are the lines that Strader wrote for you before his strength had ebbed away from him. I've come to bring them to his spirit friend. Benedictus. And after he had written down these words, where did his soul abide in those last hours? Nurse. At first, the latest of his plans in life still lived within his thoughts. Then Theodora was joined with him in spirit. Feeling this, his soul rose gently from his body's sheath. Benedictus. My faithful friend, I thank you for the love and service which you gave him still on earth. Exit Nurse. Benedictus, reading Strader's last words. My friend, when I felt close to being crushed and knew that opposition to my work did not arise alone from outward sources, but from the inner flaws of my own thought, were obstacles to check my plan's success, I saw again that picture I described to you not long ago. Its outcome, though, was not the same. Not Ahriman arose as my opponent. A spirit messenger appeared where he had been, whose form I felt distinctly as my own erroneous thinking. Then I recalled those words that you had spoken about the strengthening of my own soul powers, and thereupon the spirit disappeared. There are a few more words. I cannot read them. A chaos covers them for me and weaves and works its all-enshrouding veils of thought. Ahriman appears. Benedictus sees him. Who are you? You who come to shadow life from out the chaos of my soul horizon? Ahriman aside. He sees, but yet he does not recognize me, and so he will not cause me painful terror when at his side I try to use my power. To Benedictus. I can reveal to you what Strader still wants further to confide for your own good, and also for your pupil's mystic path. Benedictus. My mystic group will always know itself to be in touch with Strader's soul, although the life of sense no longer forms a bridge. But when a spirit messenger draws near, who manifests himself from his own worlds, he must gain first of all our confidence. To do this he must show himself to be well recognizable to spirit sight. Ahriman. Self-knowledge surely is what you are seeking. So any stranger, spirit entity, that wants to do you service is compelled to yield itself as part of your own self, if you accept its presence so far only as it is recognizable to you. Benedictus. Whoever you may be, you only serve the good when for yourself you will not strive, or when you lose yourself in human thinking to rise anew in cosmic evolution. Ahriman. It is high time for me to turn away in haste from his horizon, for when his sight can think me as in truth I really am, there will arise and grow within his thinking part of the power that slowly will destroy me. Ahriman disappears. Benedictus, I recognize now. It is Ahriman who flees from here, creating in myself the knowledge of his being in thought form. His aim is to confuse our human thinking,
for through an error long since handed down, he seeks in it the source of all his woe. As yet he does not know that he will find redemption in the future, if he only can find his self reflected in this thinking. And so he shows himself to men, but not as in reality he feels himself. Himself revealing and concealing, too, he tries to utilize in Strader's case, in his own way, the moment's chance. To strike, he thought, through Strader all his friends. He can, from now on, not conceal his nature from those devoted to my spirit work. In wakefulness, their thinking shall create him when he holds sway within their inner sight. His many shapes and forms they will decipher, with which he'd like to hide when, in disguise, he must reveal himself to human souls. But you, O soul of Strader, sun imbued, who through the strengthening of your spirit powers have driven error's envoy into flight, you shall, as spirit star, shine on your friends. Your light shall in the future penetrate into Maria's and Johannes's lives. Through you they will be able to prepare themselves with greater strength for spirit deeds, and by revealing inner light will prove endowed with power of thought at such times too, when, over full awakened spirit sight, the fierce dark Ahriman, suppressing wisdom, attempts to spread chaos's gloomy night. Curtain, end of scene 615, and the end of the fourth mystery drama, The Soul's Awakening, by Rudolf Steiner. End of scene 13.